This here is my story. Woo! Bow for glory. No need to worry. We're bound for glory. Now these matches I get gory. Bound for glory. Our women here are kinda hoary. Bound for glory. Shout out to William Horry. Ooh, bound for glory. Funk brothers Terry Dory. They were bound for glory. But this here, it's my story. 'Cause I'm bound for glory.
Like to have happen right now is for all you fat, out of shape, internet ignoramuses and vagabond virgins to keep the noise down and listen to what a couple of real men podcasting sounds like. I am your guest host for the evening. I guess I'm a regular host now. That's how it works. I'm the poobah of pelvic pulsation. I'm the commander-in-chief of kickass. I'm the man who won't stop thinking about tomorrow, and I'm a true podcast journalist. I am President Clinton. And tonight, I am joined by the man of the hour, the man with the power who's too sweet to be sour, West Virginia's most dangerous man.
That would be 1-inch biceps, the power goat. Bah! I'm the man who tells you what to do.
Oh, man.
The boss. Okay, I can stop shaking my fists in anger now.
I'm kind of scared.
I want to just bounce it off my desk like freaking, what was that guy's name? Captain Chaos. What was the dude's name on Inspector Gadget?
Oh.
I forget his name. It was like, you never saw his face.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. I'm surprised I can't think of his name.
Yeah, I'm sure one of the chat room will think of it.
All four of them in there?
All four of them in there.
It's a very light turnout for us tonight.
Put your four minds together and figure this one out for us. What was the villain's name on Inspector Gadget? I remember he had the creepy voice. But anyhow, President Clinton, I'm glad to be in your presence once again. We are
Dr.
here.
Dr. Claw.
Dr. Claw, that is it.
Yeah. That's it.
Did you look it up?
I used the Google.
Well, there you go. That's the man. It is good to be here, and we're going to talk some wrestling and how much we hate watching this BS every single week.
I was about to say, you know, a week ago, I've had 2 weeks off, mm-hmm. which was nice, but I was ready to get back in, talk about fun wrestling.
You're in there, Clinton.
And, I don't know.
You're up.
Well, you know, there was an unfortunate incident, and Sal McGee had to suspend Jackie mm-hmm. Jones mm-hmm. without pay. So.
Without pay. Imagine that.
I know. Do I get that money? No. I don't know.
No. Sal yeah. McGee, he says, no way.
Yeah, he's like, you cross the line. You can't ask people questions like that.
Mm-mm. You've asked just a horrible question to one of your fine listeners who's been listening to your product for years now. He's so enthusiastic just to be a part of the show. And then you go and ask him some sort of question like that. Well, we're going to have to suspend you. That's what Sal McGee told me over the phone earlier when I talked to him. You know, and he kind of sounded a lot like Dr. Claw.
He might be Dr. Claw.
He could
but,
be.
He could be. I don't know. I mean, he asked that question, and then And then he just kind of hung there, and it was kind of sad. But then he didn't ask any of the follow-up questions that we were all very interested in. So, kind of a fail on both parts.
I'm not asking any follow-up questions to that.
I hope it doesn't come back up this week, because I'm a serious podcast journalist. I would have to ask these follow-up questions, but I'm not going to bring it up.
Yeah, I didn't do my job in that case. I was just like, let's just abandon this topic. It was like, I was in shock, to be honest with you.
Who wasn't in shock? There's been two reactions to this. Either people are shocked and disgusted and kind of, you know, depressed about it, and then other people find it hilarious.
Maybe that's what the poor turnout's for. They're like, we can't be a part of that show anymore.
Well, that's the new low. I mean, you can talk about all this other stuff, all this bullshit that we talk about, but then asking people those questions and then getting that answer. Really, it's the answer. So it's the caller's fault. Because up until the yes answer, it's just funny.
Until shit gets real,
it's funny. So, I don't know, this might not be Jack's fault, it might be the caller's fault.
I don't know who to point the finger at anybody. I don't know if you can in this situation.
I'm not one to cast judgment on anyone. But, I don't know. So he's suspended for 2 weeks. So either we won't do the show next week or we'll do it. And
I think I'm just saying, I don't know. I don't know if I want to do it next week, but maybe we will. I don't know.
The night before Halloween.
Yeah. It's like, that's a good strip club night. No. Actually, I think the night afterwards is before. I didn't know if Trick or Treat was going to be on, like, because they have it, like, days before Halloween sometimes in the past in this area, but it seems like they're making it happen on Halloween. You know, that's how it's been the last few years, so.
Maybe because it was, like, a Sunday? I know at some places when Halloween falls on a Sunday.
But it seemed like it didn't matter anytime. Like, they would always have it just a couple days before Halloween, but now it seems like they've caught up and they're putting it actually on Halloween. So that was one reason I didn't want to do it. But
I've never understood that that controversy of, oh my God, Halloween, it's happening on a Sunday. Oh, we can't have the kids wearing costumes. My God.
No siree.
Think about the children and their eternal souls.
Mm-hmm.
Bunch of marks is what they are. Not even podcast marks necessarily, just marks.
It's just the old go-to mark.
Damn marks.
But
speaking
of
marks, you had to be a pretty big one about this pay-per-view. Huh?
I saw people on Facebook kind of buzzing about this pay-per-view, kind of saying it was good, but I saw one guy say it was the shit, but maybe he meant the shit as in, like, literally, it was just shit.
Just a big, giant pile of feces.
Uh-huh. So I was kind of pumped up for a good show when I tuned into this one, and I watched, and I was like, this really isn't such a hot show. And then I was like, man, I wish this show was over. It just kept going.
I was watching it with everyone else in the chat room that night, and I was like, God, this is just kind of a shitty pay-per-view.
All this build-up TNA, and then you just deliver just a shit show anyhow.
I mean, it literally, it's been building for at least 6 months.
6 months, TNA.
Had a pay-per-view in between, I think, but they start talking about Bound for Glory right at lockdown, and that happens in, like, April.
Man. Yeah. Every grueling week, gotta hear that Bound for Glory song. Thank God it's over.
For about a few more weeks, and then the next one starts.
I know. I only get, like, a small grace period where I don't have to hear it. It's very small, because they start that damn Bound for Glory series up in no time. Did you hear Mike Tenay, too? He was talking about, you know, for Kurt Angle to be out here and this happen on the Bound for Glory series. It's like, no, it's just Bound for Glory, Mike, to me. But I can't blame him because he's probably been saying Bound for Glory series for like 6 months now.
Just how it rolls off the tongue.
I know. They're probably so used to the Bound for Glory series that they just can't quit, you know, messing up the Bound for Glory name.
That they can't.
They're at Bound for Glory, and he's still calling it the Bound for Glory series.
I don't know. Hopefully they catch the hint and they end this damn 7 month tournament or whatever it is. Or at least make it like a 3 week round robin tournament or something.
Wasn't it so freaking obvious when you're watching the pay-per-view and they have packages for AJ Styles during the pay-per-view that he was going to win at the end?
I mean, this whole thing was kind of telegraphed, letting you know that AJ was going to win. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I think the last time I watched Impact was the night I talked about it on the show like 4 or 5 weeks ago. So, I really haven't been following the storylines. I'm not sure that really impacted my enjoyment of the show or not, because I didn't have much. But maybe if I had been watching Impact, I would like this more.
Now, I miss that sassy redhead that was at the, you know, that SoCal Val. Where the hell is she? That ruins my DNA experience.
She got shit canned and then she got picked up for drinking and driving. So I don't know. She's probably doing hard time in the slammer or something.
Hard times. But, this show, though, it's just so strange. You had Kurt Angle, and he was like, no, I don't want to be in your Hall of Fame. I'm going to do better. And then he gets knocked out in his match.
I'm going to say that TNA does deliver something that WWE doesn't. And every year, TNA has every single member of its Hall of Fame wrestle.
Yeah, they do. They do, don't they?
Every year they've had the Hall of Fame, all their Hall of Famers have wrestled.
So, I mean, Kurt Angle says, I'm going to be, like, better than I've ever been before, and then he goes out and he loses his match.
That was just a weird ending.
It was strange as hell. I mean, I
guess we can just jump to there. I mean, that match is kind of, I mean, it wasn't a bad match or anything, but the ending, my God, I don't know if they wanted to make it seem like a shoot ending, like Kurt actually hurt himself. But then he, like, the way he was acting, he's trying to pull, like, I like Steve Austin breaking his neck and refusing the help to get to the back and getting up and stuff like that, but it came off so fake to me. Like, he threw off his neck brace. And then the paramedics were like, oh, yeah, that's cool. No problem, Kurt. You don't need to wear a neck brace.
Yeah, and they had, like, the dykiest-looking paramedic there. She was like a woman, and she had, like, a sleeve of tattoos going down her arm. I was like, that can't be a real paramedic.
That's indie wrestler number 3 or something.
I'm sure it was.
I don't know. And then it was either, because Kurt Angle had beaten Rude up to the point where maybe they should have just ended it in the double 10 count, but I don't know. It was just weird. I didn't like it.
I will say there was one spot in this match I was pretty impressed with, and it was probably one of the best, like, reversals into the crossface I've ever seen. Like, it was pretty smooth. Like, it just happened. Like, most of the time whenever I see somebody, like, reverse into the crossface, it always looks terrible. Like, they're always, like, struggling just to get it, you know, slapped in there. Doesn't really look like a reversal because they're probably, like, fumbling around and all that. But
yeah, I will say this. You know, Kurt Angle, he's pretty good at this professional wrestling thing.
He is. That he is. And, I don't know what to say about the pay-per-view. Started out with the Ultimate X match, and Jeff Hardy was in it.
Did you know there was a pre-show that was on Spike?
No.
I didn't either. But apparently there was, like, an hour on Spike, and they did this, like gauntlet tag team match to determine the number one contender.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the Robbie E and the other guy won.
Oh, Robbie E and them.
And the guy who used to make out with Tara.
Yeah. God, what is that guy's name?
I don't know. Build a Wrestler number 4. And they had some Mr. Olympia out there with him. Like, I'm supposed to know who he is.
I like at the end of the match when they win and they got the belts and, like, he's just like, well, any opportunity I get to take off my shirt, I'm going to take it. So he just rips his shirt off and he starts flexing for the crowd.
Wow. If you're built like that, you might as well.
Like, if I was, like, at a meeting at work and I got a little bit of cake on my shirt because they were celebrating somebody's birthday or something, I'd be like, well, let me just take this shirt off and start flexing for everybody. Professional thing to do.
And they enjoy the gun show, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Kind of bounce the pecs. What do you think about that? Does that give me a raise?
I don't see how it wouldn't.
I don't know. It's like, I'm built like a roided up freak.
Give me some more money. Cash.
Exactly.
Watch out. I'll pop you with my biceps. Bam.
But that was one of the things that got spoiled for me on Facebook was the tag team winning, you know, like them getting the belts. I was like, damn this person. I must remove them from my Facebook. So if you were removed from my Facebook and you're not quite sure why, that was the reason why, because I didn't want the show spoiled.
Don't spoil the pay-per-views, guys. Come on.
I know I bitch about TNA every single week that I'm on, and I always talk about how I don't want to watch it, but for some reason I was kind of psyched for Bound for Glory, and it was an epic fail.
It was an epic fail. And speaking of an epic fail, this opening Ultimate X match was just kind of lame.
Yeah.
I had high hopes for this match.
You normally get, like, some pretty good stuff on the Ultimate X, but, yeah, wasn't so hot. I mean, it was just there. And, like, Saban, he was just, you know, messing with his girly too much. Velvet Sky.
When the hell did he turn heel?
Not long after he won the belt and he lost it. He turned heel, like, right after that.
What was his heel turn? Like, just acknowledging that he's dating this hot chick?
You could offer me, like, all the money in the world, and I could not tell you what his heel turn was off the top of my head. I could take guesses, but I couldn't tell you for sure what it was. I guess. Maybe it's just because he's going out with the hot chick. He's got all the slutty tattoos.
They just indicate that, you know, you're more likely to get something. I guess that's why you call them slutty tattoos.
Yeah.
There was actually a study done, and I heard about this on the radio, that they took, like, 8 hot chicks and they put them on the beach, and they would put fake tattoos on 4 of them, and then they left the other 4 without any tattoos. And then the study showed that that guys would go up to the women with tattoos over the women who didn't have tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
And their reasoning was they thought that they would get with them quicker. It wouldn't be as hard because they were more apt to be a slut because they had so many tattoos. And it worked the same when they switched the tattoos on the other 4 women. And each time they would ask these guys, well, why'd you go to this one and that one? You say, well, the tattoos indicated I had a better shot. And they say, well, which one's more attractive? And they always pick the ones without the tattoos.
Yeah. I always just kind of think, like, man, I'm not that into tattoos. Whenever I see a girl with a tattoo, I always think, you know, loose.
Well, I think a lot of people do, but it's not necessarily a fair thing. I don't care about that at all. I mean, I don't find
I just can't find a woman with like a sleeve attractive. I don't like that. But
you mean that big butch bitch on, that was wheeling out Kurt Angle with the sleeve of tattoos on her arm?
That's not attractive. But I don't mind tattoos, really. They don't bother me at all.
She would have wanted to be on that beach and hitting on the girls with the tattoos. She'd be like, "What's up, honey?"
Hey, honey. But the tattoos, and I think they're just horrible and should be banned. Or tattoos on breasts. You're just ruining them.
Yeah, I do not like tattoos on breasts. That is bad.
Don't tattoo your boobies.
Nah.
Nobody wants to see that.
I guess, like, the one I can handle the most is, like, ones on the back, like, because they don't bother me as much. But I don't like tattoos on
girls. Gives you something to aim for. This is the quality podcast journalism that you get on this show. You may not have heard of this slutty tattoo study on any other show, but in your head.
I feel enlightened hearing it from you, President Clinton.
Somebody's got to report on these studies, and I'm a very serious journalist.
I'm going to say I've discovered something last night. I believe the $5 pizza from Little Caesars has lowered frozen pizza prices as well. I went to the Walmart, and I saw some frozen pizzas for $2.25.
That's about what I see frozen pizzas at now.
Oh.
They
always been like that? I thought they were a little bit more pricey, just a little bit more.
Well, it depends on which ones you're talking about. Like the Tony's pizza.
That's what I bought.
I was thinking that's usually in like the $2.50 range or something
Somewhere like that. Mm-hmm.
So,
was it like that before the Little Caesars $5 pizza, hot and ready?
I haven't kept my charts up.
I'll be honest with you. I would eat a frozen pizza before I would eat a hot and ready.
I don't mind the hot and ready.
I don't like the hot and ready. I know it's cheap.
Not great.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's quick and easy.
It is quick and easy. I'll give it that.
To Slarty in the chat room.
It's like a loose gal with tattoos.
With a lot of tattoos.
Mm-hmm. It's like if they got a bunch of tattoos, it's like she's just a little slutty. But if they got like a sleeve, you know, she's just, you know, a dyke.
Yeah, they don't want that. Mm-hmm. But to Slarty in the chat room, I'm not saying I wouldn't sleep with these women. I'm just saying that they're kind of sluts. Not something that you want to keep around for too long.
Yeah, yeah. It's like Slarty Bardfest. He's like, "Come on, you know you'd go for Lita."
I would.
Yeah, I probably would, but that kind of proves your study from before, doesn't it? Because hasn't she, she's been around the block. She's been with a lot of people.
Now, my study doesn't say that the women are necessarily sluts. It just says that men think they are.
Which, you know, I tend to believe it. To be honest with you.
That's all we do.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm totally against booby tattoos.
I don't like them. No, I'll just say that. Don't tattoo the boobs. It's the worst part you can tattoo. Like, other than, like, your face. If you tattoo your face, you're just full-on fucking crazy.
Yeah, face tattoos are really unattractive.
You just do not give a shit if you tattoo your face.
If you tattoo your face, you've got other issues that I'm quite frankly don't want to deal with.
But then, you know, then the tits. I mean, I don't know if I've ever seen a girl with a facial tattoo, though. Can't think of any right off mine, you know.
To be fair, I can think of, like, two people with facial tattoos, and it's Tyson and Barry Saturn, so.
What was his name? Barry Neville, or the country singer, black guy? Forget his name.
Oh.
Was it Neville something? He's got, like, a cross tattooed on his face.
Yeah, it's face tattoo.
He has the big mole on his head.
I know who you're talking about. I can't think of his name.
Yeah.
But Yeah, this Ultimate X kind of sucked. And here's this. I am not a big follower of TNA. I was for about a year. I watched the whole shows, and because I get a kick out of the Hulkster. So I watched TNA for a while. It was my understanding that in an Ultimate X match, ladders are strictly prohibited from being used to get the title.
Was that a rule? I never knew that to be a rule.
This does not seem like something I would make up. I make up a lot.
You know, I think there was something to it, because that's what the ropes were for.
That's why they have to crawl and do all that stuff and shimmy across the cables. Because ladders are banned. You're not allowed to use a ladder to get the title.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone was using a ladder tonight. Or not tonight, on Sunday.
Huh.
Maybe they'll have to give the title back to Manic because of that.
They just might.
Boy, was Manic outclassed in this match. It was Manic against four former heavyweight champions of the world.
Yeah, and he's never really been in a match like that before. So it's like, damn, Manic. You've got four heavyweight champions.
I mean, you don't have to count Chris Sabin, because that was a joke. But still, three real heavyweight champions. Austin Aries, he's kind of small, too. Two real heavyweight champions. I'm a big Austin Aries fan, though. So.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
I don't know.
It's just hard to see him as a champion, though. I'll give him that.
I will say, he pulls it off fine, so long as he's not standing next to someone like the Hulkster. Or really even...
Look here, brother, this guy's the real champion. Look at him.
He's 5'2". You know, he's a real man.
You know, that just has to just destroy Hawk's mind. He's like, what? All his years of lifting weights? They just give the belt to this guy?
I will say, the Austin Aries, when he had his world title run, he was hitting the juice. He was big. He's still big, bigger than he should be for his frame. But he was really big when he got the title. Bobby Roode, when he had the title, he was juicing. That seems to be the key to the title. That's probably why Samoa Joe hasn't had it in so long, because he's so tubby.
You got to see this photo that Boxman put on the chat room. He's like, if you want to see
ice cream cone face tattoo.
If you want to see full-on crazy facial tattoos, just take a look at this man. He has an ice cream cone on his face with lightning bolts coming out of it.
He did post a photo of booby tattoos earlier. I wasn't happy with that, but...
Yeah, that was actually Bonnie Rotten. The
good
one
old
girl.
Tits.
Yeah, she was at the first Days of the Dead that Jack was at.
Speaking of Days of the Dead, I heard that Jack will be missing his first Days of the Dead.
I wonder why.
He's
not going to he don't want to go.
Chicago. I don't know what it could be.
What could have prevented him from going to that one?
Must have had a scheduling conflict at the office or something.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways. Well, let's see. What happened after that damn Ultimate X match? So they used a ladder, and I guess we should mention that Chris Sabin won by sending his old lady into the ring to look at Jeff Hardy to distract him.
Mm-hmm. Jeff Hardy must be, hard up, you know. He's just going to take his eyes off of her.
I don't know.
He's like, fuck this belt, man. I was the champion at one time.
Only the X Division belt.
It's only the X Division belt. I sure could score me a piece of this koozie. This bitch has got tattoos all over her.
Damn right she does. She's a slut.
Slut in the ring, man. He's like, fuck Austin Aries climbing up the damn ladder. He's not supposed to win that way anyways. They're just going to throw that out.
I feel the need to backtrack here. It's not one tattoo or two tattoos. Yeah, that's fine, ladies. Go ahead. If you want a tattoo and express yourself, go for it. Nothing wrong with it. I don't mind it. I don't mind it at all. Don't put them on your boobs.
Yeah.
I guess don't put them on your face.
Yeah, you kind of got to draw the line to that one.
And don't get like 32 of them. And it's a total double standard because I don't care about them on men at all. But
yeah, it's like I don't care what the guys do. It's like, no. Them. Who cares about them?
I don't want to sleep with them.
Exactly.
Anyways, so Chris Sabin is the new X Division champion, so if he holds the title until the next Destination X, he can have a title shot.
TNA just don't go belly up for their next pay-per-views.
No, people have been saying they're just going to go out of business for as long as they've been in existence, so they're just going to plug along and be kind of mediocre for the next 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the big thing about TNA, it's just like, you don't really have anything to look forward to. They can't put, like, a show together where you want to watch it every week. And it's like, you don't have, like, a big pay-per-view coming up every month. All you get is, like, a pay-per-view every 6 months. And then they can't even deliver it in.
Mm-mm. I thought the move into less pay-per-views would probably be a good thing, but I don't know. It just seems TNA had a while where they were putting on pretty good show, but they can only do it for like a month, and then they fall apart for like three. So I don't know what's going on.
Look at this guy. He's got like a fucking magnum on his face. It's like, who's going to employ this man?
That guy better have won the lottery or something.
And it's shitting out some, like, musical notes onto his ear. I could totally see him working at the KFC.
The Colonel is all about face tattoos.
Last time I went there, there was, like, this guy with, like, a spider thing going up his arm and, like... He had, like, the tear drop on his eye, and it was like, Jesus Christ, I know this guy just got, he's freshly killed somebody in the back or something, and now he's ringing me up for my chicken.
Maybe Dr. Claw would employ these people.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Dr. Claw would love it. Jesus Christ, Boxman's like, he got all of the people with the face tattoos.
He must have done a Google search on face tattoos or something.
Crazy fucks with face tattoos. That's what I need. That's my website. I need to make that.
Crazy fucks with face tattoos? I bet you there's a Tumblr on that.
Probably.
The Bromans against James Storm and Gunner.
Yeah, it's like James Storm and Gunner, they gotta lose to these guys. I like Robbie E.
Right.
Man. Yeah, I like Robbie E. too, and I like Gunner. I don't like the tag team of Storm and Gunner at all.
They don't seem to fit.
They don't mesh. It just, nothing, that doesn't go well together.
That's just one of those ones where Bruce Pritchard was just throwing darts at the wall, and he's like, yeah, let's just put those guys together.
Well, I feel bad for Gunner, because he had a pretty good thing going there, like... That's a while ago now, like 6 months, 7 months ago. He was just, he was following around Ric Flair, like being his enforcer, and he was like pile driving people and taking them out of action and stuff. And then Flair, you know, left unannounced. Said, I quit. I'm out of here, guys. WWE wants me.
He's like going to the real show.
Sorry, guys. And then, like, Gunner disappeared for 6 months, and then he came back, and he was James Storm's partner, and it kind of sucks. Which, I like Gunner. I think he's got a lot of tattoos. He's probably a slut.
Well, there was this, like, old gal that was hitting on him at like, one of the fan fests, and he didn't seem like he wanted anything to do with her.
That was funny. I think that story's been talked about a few times.
She was hitting a lot of people, though.
Geez, she was pretty well in the bag.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if she had any tattoos.
She could have got him that night, and she wouldn't have remembered about getting him.
Man.
So we got new tag team champions.
Shout out! Heck yeah.
It's Robbie E. and.
Anybody ever thought of that guy's name by now?
And the other guy.
What the hell is that guy's name?
Jesse.
Is it Jesse?
They were. I think it's Jesse.
You probably are right. But this year, I'm going to say you're right on that. He is Jesse.
Good old Jesse.
And the Mr. Olympia.
With Mr. Olympia in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Good old Miss. And then in the back, they like got this new interviewer who's interviewing them, and they're like, I don't know, mixing up protein powder, and they're shooting it like it's champagne.
They had to put goggles on before they did.
Yeah, that I found really weird. Why the hell did they put on goggles?
Are you not supposed to get protein shake in your eye or something?
Do they do that in like real sports now when they do the champagne? Are they all wearing goggles?
Might be.
I don't know. I feel like there's something here that I'm not getting. But yeah, the goggles really threw me for a loop. Must be baseball or something lame like that if they're wearing goggles. I can't see a bunch of football players wearing goggles after they win the Super Bowl.
No, I don't think they would.
I don't know. I don't have anything else to say about this match, do you?
No, not really.
They remember they won the match with the heart attack. I thought that was neat.
Mm-hmm.
Picked him up and running clothesline like the Hart Foundation used to do. So,
who lost? Like who was the one they pinned? Was it James Storm?
I have no idea. It has to be James Storm.
Yeah, I don't think it was Gunner. Maybe Gunner just refused to lose to these guys.
He should refuse to lose to these guys. I don't know. Actually, I like Robbie E. and then Jesse. He has one hell of a dropkick for such a big guy. Mm-hmm. I respect that. We had a ladies match on this card.
Hell yeah. That's what I'm talking about. The ladies match.
Oh yeah. We had the Gail Kim.
Mm-hmm.
Who, she kind of looked different to me. It's like, I don't know if she got like a nose job or something. Maybe I was just seeing stuff. Maybe Swax can fill me in on this. Maybe she was, you know, sucking so much cock that her nose got reshaped or something.
How did she come to that conclusion?
I don't know.
Well, that's the only way you can change somebody's nose.
Swax likes to say that she just sucks cock all day, and that's why she never gets anywhere in wrestling.
Oh.
It's a Swax joke.
The ones that don't make any sense.
A smart crowd will get that joke.
I wasn't paying attention.
So nobody listening will get this joke.
Yeah, and you also had ODB and
ODB, who was the champion,
mm-hmm.
and the vivacious Brooke Tessmacher.
Mm-hmm.
She is a good looking babe.
She is a good looking babe. Only one tattoo. I applaud that. I would rather her not have that tattoo.
Tattoos, they don't bother me, but
I don't know. It's a big turnoff for me, to be honest. Big turnoff. Because I just got them beating down my door, you know.
I mean, she is in a biker gang. She's probably going to have one.
Yeah, that is true. But she's too good looking to be a biker chick. Those biker chicks are all hard looking. A lot of them are.
I don't know. I'm not one to judge. So this match is pretty horrible.
I'm just all about putting down the women.
Well, you know, if they haven't been treating you right, why treat them right?
Exactly. I'm going to just blame the insurance company. That's been screwing me over on my car. I talked to some lady on the phone the other day. She was trying to tell me that I need to pay for the wrecker, like having my car in storage for all this time. But I've called them the day of, and like I reported the accident. And they said they'll be getting a hold of you in one or 2 days, and she never got a hold of us. And then I called her and left a message, and she still didn't call back. And this has been 3 weeks now. And then she was, and then when I got her finally on the phone, she's like, "I haven't got any messages from you."
Just keep a documentation of when you're calling and stuff. I mean, if you're using your cell phone, it should all be there. So
yeah, I have one that I called on the 11th.
Just keep a written record of all that stuff.
Well, now we're going through our insurance, and they're going to just go after them afterwards. So.
Gotcha.
But God, what a pain in the butt! I want my car back. I need the Inchmobile back. I mean, I need to go cruising for these chicks who don't have any tattoos and aren't hard looking and don't have any kids and
now you're really limiting your universe.
Are our standards a bit high? I mean, what's going on here?
You're gonna have to start looking younger and younger if you're looking for this age, this category of women.
I ain't got no problem with that.
I'm just saying that's how you've got to go. You're getting to the age where if you're not expecting a woman to have kids, you got to go younger, ain't you?
That is true. That is true. They all have kids now.
Doesn't it suck?
It does.
I mean, not for me. I'm a happily married man.
You're a granddad, aren't you?
Yes. Well, no.
Are you?
I am. No, I'm not. I'm hoping to be.
Yeah, I think that was just, wishful thinking. You can't wait to be a granddad one of these days.
One of these days, I should be a grandfather.
What would you do if you got up and Chelsea came home with a sleeve of tattoos going down her arm?
I would be quite shocked. I mean, she's her own woman. She can do that.
Shaved
head. That's not her personality.
Shaves her head, and she's riding a Harley.
Yeah. Maybe the missus will do that.
FTW on her forehead.
On her forehead.
Yep, right on her forehead.
I would be such a proud father.
Oh, man.
So,
the next match. Oh, this match, you had the big girl come out at the end. What the hell was her name?
The Barbarian Jr.
Yeah, it was like...
It's Barbarian's niece.
Oh,
her name is like... yeah, because she did the TNA Tough Enough thingamajig. Gotcha. Check.
She did?
Yeah, she was one of those. And I think that...
they actually signed her?
No. I want to say that they didn't sign her. She's there anyway. Could be wrong. Maybe they did sign her.
Don't you love TNA Gut Check? They promised each and every one of these people a contract. And then, almost all of them got it. And then, only two of them actually was on TV with a contract.
Yeah, they went and fired all of them.
I mean, I'm not sad that the dreadlocks dude is gone. Kind of glad he's gone.
I wonder if there was the one Gut Check guy who was in the Bound for Glory series. I wonder if they fired him yet. Because he had his job security.
Don't bring him up. You're only going to bring light to his matter. And they're going to let him go because they know he's still there.
Dixie, if you listen to this show, I have ideas.
Don't get titty tattoos.
Well, don't get titty tattoos, Dixie. Dixie is a fine-looking lady, I think, but that's besides the point. She wouldn't be with titty tattoos.
No.
But she'd be a lot sluttier, though. If you listen to this show, Dixie, I got ideas for TNA. I'm chock full of them. I mean, I'll be the next... I'm trying to think of a good writer. I don't know. I'll be the best writer you've ever had, TNA.
Mm-hmm.
So give me a call. President Clinton, write your shows. It'll be good times. It'll be a lot of stuff that makes me laugh. Everyone else will probably hate it, but I'll love it.
Yeah, so the Barbarian Junior or whatever, she came out and, yeah.
See, her
Leia
name is
Leia
de Tappa.
Thank you, Rattlehead. Tappa? Have you ever heard that last name? Or D Tappa?
Tappa.
D Tappa that ass. I'm a genius.
I've heard of Tapa Spars.
Tapa Spars? Who the hell's that?
That's not a person, it's a place.
It's a place.
A Tapa Spar.
Topless bar?
Well, topless too. That's another top bar. But tapas.
What's a tapas bar?
It's not important.
Is that where they do cockfighting or something?
Yes, that's where they do cockfighting. No, it's just like a bar that's more of a... I don't know, they got like... It's more laid back. They got like couches and chairs and they... It's just a different place.
I'm not well versed in these matters.
Well, we'll get you there. I have purchased myself a lottery ticket for this evening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when I win, you know, you and I will hit the big city.
Hell yeah!
We go to the topless bar and the topless bar.
I think I'd take the topless bar over because I don't there drink. We- so I like to get something out of my bar going.
Well, there you go. Gail Kim wins this match because...
I see the hard-up girls with all the crazy tattoos. And I need to see some cesarean scars, for Christ's sakes.
You and I, we're going to Sturgis.
Oh, I'd see some there, I'm pretty sure.
We're going to Sturgis.
I'll ride my moped up there.
We'll get a couple of huffies.
Yeah, you get the motor now, or you put the motor on your bike and just drive up there.
I've heard that's so lame.
Yeah, it's pretty lame. Just get a moped at that point.
Let's see, Bobby Roode and Kurt Angle, we talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
Then my favorite match of the evening, by far, Ethan Carter III. Squared off against a young up-and-coming superstar, Norv Furnum.
He came out and you knew he was there to impress the crowd. He was there to show them that he was ready to fight this Carter, this Eric Carter III. He was going
EC3.
He was going to show him what was up. But he fell short in a little bit in this match.
I like this little segment before the match with Dixie and him, and like their family motto is something like, "We're the Carters. The world needs us." And I just laughed. I thought, this is comedy. This is good. But I like this match too. I got a kick out of it. I mean, don't get me wrong. Does it belong on the biggest pay-per-view of the year? This squash match? No.
But in like the second last match?
Yeah. I mean, shout out to Will. Yeah. But I found it entertaining. Much more so than the other stuff.
Not WrestleMania TNA. Not WrestleMania. That's
no. I don't know. I probably enjoyed it more than some of the matches on WrestleMania this year. It's got to beat the hell out of Mark Henry Ryback match.
Mm-hmm.
Although I did like the ending of that match where Mark Henry just fell on him.
That's what you get, Ryback. That's what you get for getting over.
Boom. I fell on your ass. So, EC3 beats this guy up. Wins the match.
Mm-hmm. He had a pretty good finisher, though.
Yeah, it was some sort of like... it was kind of like a DDT, but not quite. I don't know what you would call it.
Is he really related to Dixie? What do you
no.
say? He looks... Yeah, he don't really look like Dixie.
Well, I remember that he was on... He was in WWE. He was an NXT guy.
Okay, so he's not a real Carter.
No, he's not a real Carter. Back when NXT was still kind of like the WWE version of Double Dare, which I enjoy tremendously because it was so horrible.
Yeah.
Because it was Double Dare. There were physical challenges and trivia questions and the occasional wrestling match. It was great. But now they have all this young developmental talent, and they only show it on the internet, and it's real matches, and you gotta be so hip, and you love NXT.
Bummer. We want physical challenge.
People should be carrying kegs around the ring and falling down. They should have to be building blocks into the, like a castle.
Mm-hmm. You get like a big pile of mush with like a flag in the center, and they got to find it.
Damn right, that would be great.
It would be. Just hire Mark Summers again and have him host it.
I could see Mark Summers would have to be better than Mike Adamley.
No, I'd say he would be, of course.
Although, I remember American Gladiators. I would have just thought that Mike Adamley would have been decent at this, but no, he was bad. Doesn't make much sense. So, Ethan Carter III. I like this. This could be good for TNA. I don't think it's going to be a huge angle or anything, but...
Will it make you actually want to watch Impact? That's pretty toss-ass.
I mean, when I do watch Impact, I'll probably like this.
I can see your point there. If I was actually forced to watch Impact, that might be one of the segments that I would enjoy.
Exactly. I will say this about Impact. There are usually two or three things that are really good, that entertain me. And then, but the storyline same thing with Raw. There's usually like two or three really solid wrestling matches on Raw. But if the stories in between are horrible, it just kind of ruins the whole show.
Yeah. Which is what we've been getting as of late.
A lot of that, yeah. But, I don't know. Magnus versus Sting. Do you know why they were wrestling? I had to ask.
It just seemed like Sting was wanting to help out a younger guy or something.
That's my understanding. It's like Sting wanted to give Magnus a shot at the big time, wrestling a big star and on a big stage, like Ric Flair did for him.
Sting's just like, WWE really wants me right now, but I need to go out and lose to this nobody. Just put him right over, so WWE just thinks, maybe we shouldn't bring this guy.
I don't know.
I like Magnus alright, but I don't know. Should Sting be losing to Magnus?
I don't know. Maybe he should be.
I guess it's good to get the younger guys over, but man, does Magnus deserve it? Has he done anything?
I think he's got a lot of potential.
Should he be beating Sting, though?
Yeah.
He's the Stinger. He does the splash.
He does this, he does that. He's as big as a bull and as quick as a cat.
But I don't know, I just don't know if he's of that caliber yet. I don't really think he is.
They gotta do something. He's a guy they should run with. But there's no... and they're teasing that he's turning heel here. And I don't know why. Like, maybe starting to think he's too good to be in the main event Mafia, which, who can blame him?
Well, yeah. He needs to get be in a main eventer for once. Be in the
Yeah, movie. I don't know. I thought it would have made more sense for, but this wouldn't work because Sting is such a horrible heel. But for Sting as the veteran to basically, and this storyline's been done before, but turn on Magnus because he beat him.
Shoot Penny right in the ring.
Well, not that, but Magnus picks up the win, and then Magnus picks him up and you also thank him for a good match, and then Sting just kind of, Pearl Harbors him and lays him laying there on the ground, beaten and bloody because he embarrassed him or something. I think, that makes more sense than Magnus being smug and not shaking Sting's hand. But, as I said, heel Sting is probably the worst.
thing I've ever seen. It does. It never works.
Of all the things that's happened in the professional wrestling business to make another dude pissed off, you can shit in people's bags, you can bang his girlfriend, you can steal his wife, but the one thing that you do not do is not shake somebody's hand. If you do that,
that's a big deal in wrestling.
If you do that, then you're just the biggest piece of crap ever.
That's the truth.
Shake the hand, jobber. Respect the veteran.
Do it.
So. You can shit in my bag all you want, but if you don't shake my hand afterwards, hi-ya.
You're out of here, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Got to shake everyone's hand every day. That's the rule. So, I think we mentioned this. Kurt Angle said, you know, fuck this. I'm not going into TNA Hall of Fame.
Yeah, what the hell? I mean, you're kind of happy. It's a nice moment. They're inducting him into the Hall of Fame. And he's like, I don't want it.
He's more like, I don't deserve this. I have failed my fans. Now, my thought is, I guess they had, like, a banquet the night before. In, like, the big ballroom at the Holiday Inn or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they charged people to go to this thing. How would you feel if you shelled out the bucks to go to the TNA Hall of Fame ceremony? And then the next night, the one inductee says, nah, never mind. I don't want him.
I don't want him. I failed you all. I'd feel ripped off.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess she got to. Maybe it's like the Hall of Heroes. She gets to eat.
I'd have to find that old bag at whatever Kruger bar she's occupying at the time, and I'd be like, listen here, you old bag. I want my money back, Dixie. And I want it back.
Now. Give it to me.
You could just come home with me.
Well, there you go. Maybe she's got some tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
And
you got a little bit of life left in you, girly. I know you're not just all dried up. Let's get back to my place.
Well, let's see what we can do to turn this situation around, Dixie.
Let's see if I can't make you sing Dixie tonight.
Apparently they're selling Dixie Carter t-shirts now.
What is on a Dixie Carter t-shirt?
It's got a big D in the center, and there's a circle around it, and says Dixieland. What would you do if you were at the grocery store and you saw someone wearing a Dixie Carter t-shirt?
Man, if I saw like somebody out in public wearing a Dixie Carter t-shirt, I don't know what I would do with myself.
I would have to go up to them and ask them if they were being ironic.
I would almost give that person like $10 if I actually saw them wearing a Dixie Carter shirt out in public.
They probably picked it up at the Goodwill. It was the cheapest shirt he could get.
That or he just came back from India or something. He's got a closet full of Jeff Jarrett shirts. And then, who else is the guy they made, like, t-shirts of? Like, all these worthless t-shirts that they never sell.
Any TNA t-shirt, pop.
I liked how Dixie Carter was like, take all the AJ's merchandise off the shelves. And it's like, I was expecting her to say it and put it in a box and ship it to the Middle East.
I just imagine that there are villages in Africa with... Everybody in the village is clothed in Super Bowl loser, you know, shirts and TNA shirts. And that is their clothing.
Oh, man. Does TNA sell any merchandise? Why do they make it?
I don't know. I've never bought anything.
I remember, like, on my many visits to the flea market, I would come across this guy, and he was selling shirts, and he had, like, just a shitload of Disco Inferno shirts. He had that and, like, a bunch of other, like, wrestling shirts, so just a whole bunch of them. It was impressive.
Impressive.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Oh man, Dixie Carter t-shirt, I can't believe that.
I mean,
who's really into Dixie Carter to be like, I need a t-shirt of her?
I don't know. Dixie and her immediate family.
Her dad's like, I bought one of your shirts, sweetie.
Have you
I'm
made
gonna
a
wear
profit yet?
I'm gonna wear it to swap meet tonight. Because I'm sure that's what he does.
He's kind of like a multi-millionaire. I don't know if he's going to swap meet.
Yeah, I can't think of like some sort of hillbilly thing that a rich guy would do. It's like, I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe he's at the Dallas Cowboy game or something. Wearing his Dixieland t-shirt.
Now they're from Tennessee, so what was it, like the Oilers? Or who the hell's in Tennessee? Titans, ain't it?
The Titans. Well, no, I mean, that's where TNA is based out of, but that's because that's where Jarrett was originally.
Mm-hmm. But I thought she lives in Tennessee as well.
Well, she does now. But I want to say that Old Man Carter is based out of Dallas.
Okay. So it would be a Cowboys game then.
I don't know. It don't matter.
Yeah,
it's TNA. Speaking of don't matter.
I'm going down the American Gladiators. That seems like the thing he'd be into.
Go out.
I love that goddamn Mike Adamley.
I'd like to run the assault course. They're shooting those tennis balls at me.
Last one, time I went down there, one of the fuckers hit me in the head. I'm like, hey, goddamn gladiator, you're not supposed to hit me in the fucking head. Can't you wear it? See, I'm wearing my daughter's t-shirt. Bought her a fucking wrestling company.
Oh, man. I wish I had a wrestling company.
Well, we'll see about that, darling.
Oh, jeez. Why'd you do that to Ronnie Garvin?
I'll buy you a wrestling federation, and you can book that shit right in the ground.
Well, I don't know. Was TNA any better pre-Dixie?
I think a little bit, yeah. A little bit. I don't know.
I don't know.
Was it any better? I mean, I would watch the program. Is that just because of my age? Like, maybe I'm just totally sick of it now? But, I don't know. It's very questionable.
Let me ask you this question, and I posed it because I heard Colt Cabana say it to Steve Austin. If you hadn't previously watched wrestling, you know, back when it was good, and you just started watching today,
mm-hmm.
Do you think you would keep watching the next week? Like, if you had just, this is your first experience watching wrestling, you've watched the last 2 months of Raw and TNA, would you
continue to watch
wrestling?
Yeah. There's no way. What did Austin say?
They honestly were like, they don't know if they were watching just out of nostalgia because they've always watched or you know what, but I'm kind of in that same boat. I'm like, if I've never watched wrestling before this, I can't imagine this hooking me, keeping
Austin,
me watching.
The answer was no. You wouldn't be watching if you hadn't a watch back in the days. He just didn't want to answer it.
So,
like,
I don't
goddamn
know.
Kid, I'm still receiving checks from them. You want me to answer that fucking question? They're still paying me money.
So what else to?
He's got a tattoo on his leg.
There you go. Let's see what else happened on the TNA. Was that it? Oh, I guess we had the heavyweight championship match.
The heavyweight championship match. Who could possibly win this one?
Hmm. It was the.
Was it the guy they were showing video packages for the entire night? I don't know.
I think Dixie would have put the kibosh on that since, you know.
She had such a great mind for the business.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. And, they're also at odds right now, like you're saying. But
very much so. Mm-hmm. To the point where, you know, she put out a bounty on his head, I guess.
Bully Ray, I think he had a pretty good promo in the back when he was talking about, Guns N' Roses, Welcome to the Jungle. And I was like, yeah, that's a very current reference.
There is my story.
I mean, it was just yesterday when Guns N' Roses came out. But I thought it was a good promo nonetheless. It was pretty good in the end. At first, I was like, good Lord, why is he talking about Guns N' Roses? But he turned it into something good. So, Bully Ray is good. So. Now he doesn't have the belt, so. Go figure.
Sad times. This was
the Aces and Eights just kind of ruined him, I think. It's like, he really didn't need that bullshit.
No, I mean, it is what it is. I don't know. But this match was, the match itself was fine, but the ending was just weird. It was bad. At one point, it looks like that AJ's going to win, so Dixie Carter runs out, or it's like Bully Ray was waiting for someone to come out, and then it's just Dixie. Like, it was supposed to be Hulk Hogan, and then Dixie's like, sorry, Bully, I guess he wouldn't sign with us again. Were you watching this?
Who the fuck are you?
Expecting Hulk Hogan to show up at some point? Because I was.
Nah, I didn't really have Hulk in my mind. I was just thinking, at this point, I was like, man, I wish the show was over. But yeah, I guess that would have been a good time for a Hulk Hogan to come in and make a big turn or something.
Something, I don't know. But so it's at some point, they're wrestling and AJ's about to win and Dixie instructs Earl Hebner not to count or she'll fire him or something.
Oh man, so, where's she getting this one from? I mean, so, this storyline's just golden, isn't it?
Yeah, this is totally original. I've never seen this before, but so Earl doesn't count because he doesn't want to get fired.
Mm-hmm.
But then, the match goes on for, I don't know, 3 to 5 more minutes, and then Earl just decides to count later with Dixie still standing there. That makes no sense to me.
He just finally decided to do the right thing, and I'm just going to say it. You're never going to get, the Hebners over. It's like baby faces. I mean, so why are they even trying? They're always going to be hated in the wrestling community. Always.
I don't know.
And he's not going to get over by, counting for AJ Styles. I mean, people kind of hate AJ Styles right now. I don't know. Does anybody really want to see AJ Styles in the main event for this?
I don't.
I wasn't. I know the guy can wrestle, but I just do not care.
Yeah, this, I don't know.
I mean, you can say that for a lot of people in TNA, but I think I'd rather have saw, Kurt Angle take on Bully Ray.
Well, yeah, it would have been a better match.
It would have been a much better match. I know he was, laid up in the rehab and all that, so maybe he couldn't have done it, but, the build would have been shit. But, gosh, now AJ, he's not under contract and he has the belt. I wonder where they got that storyline from.
I don't know.
Honestly, TNA, do you even try?
Well, I mean, they've done that one, and then Gail Kim's got the big Islander bodyguard, and that's not happening in WWE at all at the same time.
Is it that hard to be original? I mean, good Lord. Is it that impossible to think of an original storyline? I mean, come on now. I mean, we were here on the show. We were talking about the Briscoes pawning the belt for scrapping it. That's the good stuff.
That's the good stuff.
Steal some of our stuff if you want. We'll help you out. Good Lord, TNA. God, why don't they just die already? I mean, it's good for the people to have a place to work, but man, they are not, you know, compelling me on any level at all. I'm not wanting to watch this program.
No, not at all.
I was kind of excited for Bound for Glory, and it just sucked.
It really did.
They were Bound for Glory.
Thumbs down, I guess.
Yeah, I'll give it a thumbs down. Yeah, I wasn't too big on it.
Whatever.
Then we had a hell of a Monday Night Raw. I guess Triple H pissed off Chris Jericho with his remark in the ring.
Yeah.
Saying, like, back in the day, you know, if Jericho was the face of WWE or something like that, like, it just wouldn't have happened. I forget. How'd he say that?
He said something along the lines of, if there's these guys like Edge and Chris Jericho and RVD who were hell of workers. I mean, they were solid workers, good guys. But if they would have been the face of the company, then we'd all be working for Ted Turner right now.
Does he think that he's like the guy who pulled him out of that? Like, it was Triple H who did all that?
Yeah, it was totally Triple H.
I'm pretty sure he didn't get, like, his big push until, like, WWE was just dead.
Yeah,
WCW, excuse me. Like, Mick Foley didn't start putting his ass over until, like, WCW was gone.
It's all storyline. I don't know. Triple H doesn't believe all this stuff. It's just, you know, best for business.
Yeah, but it pissed Jericho off. He took to Twitter and he was blasting back, but he quickly removed it. He should just say he was hacked after that. My cow was hacked.
Pull the Kurt Angle there.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Yes, Slarty Bardfest, TNA has finally broke me. He said that in the chat room. He said, it took years, but TNA finally broke Incher.
Broken. Damaged goods.
I just don't have the will to watch that program anymore. And you don't get, like, a big show till, like, 6 months later, and it turns out to be crap.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe they'll have one hell of an impact this week. You looking forward to it?
No. I'm curious to watch just to see where they go, I guess. Maybe a little bit. Remotely. A smidgen.
I would just assume that Dixie would be like, all right, well, AJ's fired. We have a new champion.
I'm blowing my fucking TV up if that happens. I'm totally taking out the shotgun and just shooting it. It's like,
I mean, that's what Dr. Claw would do.
Get my metal glove out and pound my desk. But yeah, oh man, WWE. It's kind of like TNA anymore. It's just hard to care about any of these storylines. It's like Daniel Bryan just keeps getting screwed over time and time again. It's like, for Christ's sakes, could we see a good, like, championship run of some sort here? How's this guy ever supposed to get over with, like, these fans that are on the fence?
Yeah, they really, especially since they're bringing Cena back at the pay-per-view, which is either this week or next week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they had to have pulled the trigger and put, you know, and done it if Cena was coming back so quick. If he wins it now, he's just going to be overshadowed by John Cena.
Pretty much. All this Cena sheep, they'll just be like, Cena. Love Cena.
Must watch Cena.
And half the crowd hate him, too.
Yeah,
I'd say more than half. I mean, and then there's, like, some, like, I don't know, I guess he is the face of WWE, but, like, people are just so sick of him.
I don't know. He's got to do something to... I like John Cena, and I truth be told, I enjoy his matches most of the time, but the character is kind of... He's got to do something a little different.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I don't know what he needs. I mean, I don't need him to go out there and give his good friend, I don't know, who would be Randy Savage in this equation, but he doesn't have to drop a leg on Randy Savage and tell the fans to stick it. I don't need that. Just change it up a little bit. Do something.
Mm, yeah.
I don't need full. I don't need to see Hollywood John Cena or anything.
He could like rip some off of Chris Sabin right now and just come out with big tits and be all kissing on her and stuff.
That might work.
Yeah.
That could be good. He's just kind of a douchebag and he's got this hot girl. That could work.
That's right. He's like, my house is bigger than yours.
He just goes around giving people, you know, backhanded compliments and stuff. And then he's, you know, slapping tits on her ass. I could get behind.
John Cena, the douche run.
He's, the douche
he's
run.
Just a big douche when he comes out.
I like it. TNA, if you're not stealing our ideas, then WWE should.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, what the hell happened on Raw? Raw, I couldn't watch Raw in one sitting. I gave up after 2 hours. I'm like, I can't watch no more.
I wasn't watching Raw, but I saw you posting on Facebook, and you're like, I give up. And I was like, oh, man, I got a good Raw to be watching. Can't wait to pop this sucker in the DVD player.
I had a long day that day, and I was tired. It's just nothing was keeping my interest. I mean, there was a really good match to start off the show between Daniel Bryan and Dean Ambrose. Well, it didn't start off the show because Triple H jibber-jabbered for a while. But the first match was pretty good, Dean Ambrose and Daniel Bryan.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a couple good matches. But
kind of like you said before, though, it's hard to care whenever, like... all this nonsense is going on in between it. You had Dolph Ziggler versus Randy Orton.
Yeah, that was not a bad match. And then I gave up during the Real Americans versus Tons of Funk match. I was like, nah, I'm going to bed. This is it.
Do I really need to see this one again?
Like, nope, I'm done.
They're going to really have to put the Funkasaurus on like a diet so Cesaro can get him up for the big swing.
He done it to everybody else. He's just got to man up and do it.
He was going for it one time, but then he changed his mind and they got Albert in there. Lord Tensei, excuse me.
And Lord Tensei.
He did it on Lord Tensei once again.
Sweet tea.
You had Santino coming out as the Elvis.
See, everybody hated this. It made me laugh. So, I mean, it wasn't.
I didn't mind it. I mean,
wrestling it, but I thought it was kind of funny.
It was just a goofy little thing he was doing.
He was dancing, and Hornswoggle and Kali, they both had Elvis wigs on too, and
he beat up Heath Slater, and then he got out, and he started doing the Elvis dance on top of the announcer's booth, and he's like, Jerry Lawler, the king, he is the real king of Memphis.
And then they both got up on the table and did some shimmying.
Yeah, so what's so offensive about that?
I mean, it's harmless. It's Santino.
Mm-hmm.
It's just funny.
Silly.
But people were like, oh, my God, this is the worst thing that's ever happened in wrestling. Oh, this is why people don't watch. No, that's probably more what they... I bet you that more people who watch Raw enjoy that than whatever the podcast marks nowadays, whatever guy they're behind.
I know it.
They got to love more than the Santino, more than the damn Wyatts.
Boy, are they boring.
They are boring. I mean, once you get past that entrance, it's all downhill.
I hate that little song anymore. I used to like it, but it's just like... Doo, doo, doo,
well, you know, the crap is going to follow.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. The guy's kind of mumbling while he's singing it. He's like, he's like, okay, whatever. They're so spooky. They got the lantern.
They can blow out the electric lantern.
That is talent if he can blow out electric.
It's a pretty good job, you know. He's clearly not just pulling out the 9-volt on the bottom.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he should be like Mr. Electrode or something. He'd come out and be like, watch me blow out this light bulb. It's like amazing. How does he do that?
How does he do it? I don't know. Neither do you.
You are correct, sir.
What else happened? The Bella Twins had a tag team match, so I guess Tits is back from injury.
Ah, well, good. God bless.
Only Vag was wrestling. Vag Tattoo.
Mm-hmm. But did Tits get in the ring any?
She was in this tag team match. I assume she did some wrestling.
Can't really recall if you saw him bouncing in the ring or not.
Well, I saw her bouncing around, yeah, but I don't know whether or not that happened during the match. Just as she was walking around, I don't know.
Were you drunk during this match?
I wasn't drinking during Raw.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't blame you if you had been.
I wasn't totally paying attention, I'll be honest.
Was it one of those ones where it's like, if it wasn't for the chat room, I would not sit through this entire show?
Well, I didn't even sit through the entire show, but I probably stayed as long as I did because of the chat room.
Mm-hmm. I did not finish it. I did not. I started watching it a little bit, but like, I started watching it earlier today, so it got time to like where I was like, "Yeah, I won't get to it."
Let's see what else. The Biggie Langston, he's wrestling. He's buddies with CM Punk now.
He is.
Yeah, well, he didn't like. He's got a thing going with Ryback, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
So they're buddies.
CM Punk and Big E are now buddies, I guess.
I guess he's getting with AJ, so. But that's like behind the scenes kind of stuff, but.
Good, you know,
they
Punk.
They just need to carry it over onto a Monday Night Raw.
You know, Punk, he's kind of slutty. He's got a lot of tattoos, too.
Mm-hmm. He's got
sleeves. He runs through all those
too.
Women, yeah.
Yeah. He's
Maybe
such
there
a man
is
whore.
To the slutty thing in tattoos.
Yeah.
Let's see, what else happened on Raw? I guess if you didn't watch the whole thing, did you see, it would have been the end of Raw, so you probably didn't see it, but the tag match between the Usos and the Shield? I bring it up not because the match was so great, because it wasn't, and the match ended in a no contest, but they put Cody Rhodes and Goldust on commentary. Mm-hmm. And Cody is horrible. Like, he should never do guest commentary, ever. Like, JBL just spent the whole time ripping him apart. And it was embarrassing.
Does JBL just have it out for Cody, maybe? Or you think he just...
I think JBL threw some barbs his way, and then when he saw what Cody was coming back with, he knew he could do whatever the hell he wanted. And he just shoved it down his throat.
Mm-hmm.
And even at one point, Goldust was even making fun of him.
It's bad when he turns your brother against you.
It's so horrible. Then he tried to make a joke about...
You know, Cody, I think I want a team with Bradshaw next week.
Cody tried to make a joke at Jerry Briscoe's expense, and He was clearly he was only making that joke to get a reaction out of Jerry Briscoe. It was just bad.
Not a good night for Cody then.
No, I mean it was. No, he came off looking like a goof.
Man, Jack picked a good week to skip or to get suspended.
He was suspended by the highest authority.
I know.
I've never been suspended. You've never been suspended.
No. No.
I don't know.
Beats me.
And then, I don't know.
This is a hard week of wrestling to talk about.
It has been. What else happened on Raw? There is contract signing, which, you know, I guess we talked about, because Triple H said Jericho sucked during it, and
I wasn't sure if I wasn't paying attention during the opening monologue.
No, it was during the end, pretty sure.
I was like, did I just miss that whole thing, or not so, who knows?
No, the show was bookend by Triple H and Stephanie.
I was probably fantasizing.
Beginning of the show and the end of the show.
Fantasizing about picking up Dixie Carter in some Kruger bar out there somewhere. I'm sure she frequents those places.
Oh, Surge can't be enough for Dixie.
You know it.
All you gotta do is punch him. He folds like a cheap suit.
Freaking Surge. I would never get my ass kicked by a man named Surge. If I did, I'd never tell anybody in my entire life.
No.
Surge just handed me my ass.
Surge. I think he's been on TNA television 3 times that I've seen, and they just like punch him once and he gets knocked out each time. He did punch AJ once during the affair angle. But that, I don't know. I don't remember.
Did AJ just go like, I'm a freaking wrestler, dude. You're not going to hurt me.
No, he sold it.
Fucking AJ.
So, I don't know. So, they had a contract signing, and Big Show came out in a big rig.
He came out in a big rig?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's like, I'm Austin now.
That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to make Big Show the new Austin, and it's lame.
Oh, God.
Brad Maddox got a concussion on SmackDown, so he wasn't there tonight, or on Monday, and Vicky is filling in for him instead now. So she is back as general manager of Raw.
How original.
I what she has on the McMahons, I don't know, but they keep her employed.
Well, it's good she's got a job.
Just, I don't know why they don't just cut her a check.
Not
even
just
make
not
her
put
show
her on
up.
TV yet.
I mean,
you gotta get
Papa
something out of
for WCW for 4 or 5 years. He never had a damn match. He never had to show up anywhere. They just paid him.
Man. For some reason, he has to see that Vicky Guerrero, he's got to get all his money's worth out of her. He can leave, like, WCW footage laying on the table for, like, years.
Mm-hmm.
He can, like, I don't know, he can mess up the invasion angle and just screw up that. But for some reason, he's got to get his money's worth out of Vicky Guerrero.
That he does. I don't know. It's probably got something to do with Dr. Claw.
Most likely.
I don't know. Shawn Michaels was out there. He's acting goofy.
Yeah, I saw his little thing at the beginning of the show where he's like, we used to do that to your old man all the time. Like, Big Show interrupting her signal.
Yeah. Triple H was like, well, that was funny then.
Mm-hmm.
It's totally different now.
So I guess they're going to have Shawn Michaels screw over Daniel Bryan at the pay-per-view.
Well, they're either going to do that, or he'll call it right down the middle, and it'll lead to a Triple H HBK match.
Mm. So HBK is like, this hunting show ain't paying me enough?
I don't know. There's been a lot of rumors lately about a HBK comeback match. So,
well,
I don't know.
I'm all for it.
Yeah, sure. I'd rather see him, you know, do that than being this, you know, goofy redneck hunter guy.
I mean, honestly, how many times can you see somebody be a guest referee?
I don't know. Austin's been doing it for years now. It's kind of his thing.
Yeah, and he's like, I ride this ATV down in the ring. I throw a lot of beer, and I'm the enforcer. And it's like, woohoo.
There you go. Good job.
That's what everybody wants to see. I know he's hurt and everything, but man, you would think they would think of something for him to do better than that.
You would think so.
But they don't. God, I feel bad that I'm just like bitching about everything this week, but honestly, I just do not care.
Well, I mean, if there was something good, I mean, we talked about the good stuff. We talked about the Norv Furnum match.
And that is all.
I don't know.
There's not a whole lot good to talk about.
No, there's really not. Everybody's wearing pink shirts.
Man.
AJ Styles is wearing pink ribbons on his tights, and he's a brooding loner who's only out for himself, but he cares enough to cure breast cancer. I am totally in favor of eliminating breast cancer, but do you think that people buy these pink t-shirts?
So if you buy one, they're donating the money from that to like this.
A portion of the proceeds is donated.
But you know they got enough money just to donate the entire thing to them.
How many people do you think are buying pink Ryback t-shirts?
Not I, sir. Not I.
I don't know.
I think if they really wanted to help them out, why didn't they just make, like, you know, buy Stone Cold shirts and they'll donate a portion of that. Or, like, anything from WWE shop.
Just cut a check.
Yeah. Say,
yeah, for every, you know, purchase that you make, merchandise sales that we make in the next month, we're going to donate 25% to breast cancer awareness or whatever.
Or the John Cena lawn gnome. I'd buy that before the pink shirt.
Damn right I would.
Guys want to help out. We love our breasts. And we don't want to buy pink t-shirts, though.
We don't want boobs tatted up, and we don't want them full of cancer.
Exactly. We want them nice and healthy.
And that's right.
And if they're a little saggy, that's all right.
Yeah, that so, just happens.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the years don't, you know, they don't hold up as well.
So,
there's a Dixie Carter joke in there somewhere. But I can't quite come
visiting
out with it.
Dixieland there?
If heaven ain't a lot like Dixie, then I don't want to go. So, there you go.
There you go. So, that was Raw. I'm sure there was 80,000 other things that happened during it, but I don't care.
I don't either. I think we just need to take calls. And unless you can think of something else to talk about.
Well, you know, did you watch SmackDown?
No.
No, neither did I. I don't think I've watched any of the rest. Oh, I did watch a match between Rick Martel and Razor Ramon, which was excellent.
If you go back to like 1995 or when what year did that match take place in?
It had to be 93, 94, something in that range.
So if you go all the way back in time like that, you can. There's good wrestling to be had, but if you look any time recently, just forget about it.
Back when Raw was 1 hour and you had the solid 20-minute match on it, I mean, that was awesome. This match is on the. I will say this for WWE, they're utilizing their YouTube channel more, and if you go on their YouTube, there's a whole lot of crap on it. But if you search their page and you just type in full match, you get a lot of good stuff. They're like updating a full match a day and stuff. And that's where I found this Martel Razor Ramon match. And there's a lot of good stuff on there. Like I saw And I'm sure I watched this at the time, and this is how Nitro works, because so many big things happened on Nitro, you kind of forget all the cool stuff that happened. But I saw this match where Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair were on the same tag team, and I'm like, why the hell do I not remember this? This seems like a very rare occurrence.
Mm-hmm.
But that's on the YouTube channel, so WWE's doing a good job there. If you filter through all the JBL and Cole show crap, you can find some good stuff there. But I highly recommend that Martel Razor Ramon match. It's very good.
Ah, cool. Yeah. I don't know. They can put out good stuff that's like 20 years old.
If it's old, it's better than the current stuff.
They just don't seem to be able to produce anything good anymore. So
I don't know. Well, you podcast marks can call in and talk about your love of, I don't know, probably the stuff happening on NXT and in Japan and all the stuff I don't care about.
Mm-hmm. 508-644-8503 is the number to dial. We'll be right back taking some of your calls and more hijinks of some sort.
I mean, we're trying to produce a very serious journalistic show here. We're podcast journalists, so don't bring us bullshit. I mean, we're talking about important studies that are happening, educational studies about sluts and tattoos. So bring your A-game, people. I don't want any bullshit.
Bring it.
Hey, this is Sarah Del Rey, the queen of wrestling, and you're listening to InYourHeadOnline.com.
Okay, I guess we're back. We got a lot more fun to talk about, don't we, Insure?
Oh, this show is just jam-packed of fun. We're here. We're ready to talk some wrestling. And we got a caller on the line. Caller, unknown number, who are you?
Steve.
Steve?
Yes.
Steve, we got a question for you.
I like wrestling.
Why does it sound orgasmic when you say you like wrestling?
So Steve, what do you like about the wrestling?
I like it when they do the moves.
What's your favorite move, Steve?
The punch.
The punch. That's a quality. It's an illegal move. Do you know that?
Yes. But they made it legal.
If they ever had a Hawaiian dude, they gotta call his punch the Hawaiian punch.
What do you
think? The Islanders or something.
He was the Kona Crush.
Good old Kota Crush. Was he your favorite, Steve?
Yes. I like when he squeezed people's heads.
You're a big fan of head squeezing.
Yes.
Has anyone ever squeezed your head, Steve?
Yes.
Who?
I don't remember.
I would try to block that out as well. Yeah.
I like Quang the Ninja.
Now, has anyone ever misted you?
Yes.
Who?
My Uncle Rob.
Uncle Rob misted you?
Yes, after he was holding my head.
Which head?
My head on my shoulders.
Oh, okay.
But he did miss me with his mouth.
You probably don't want to talk about that too much, do you, Steve?
No.
Have you watched any random wrestling, Steve?
Yes.
What did you watch?
I watch Quang the Ninja.
Can you think of any, like, good matches with Quang the Ninja?
Yes.
Which one would that be?
I liked it when he was a Barriqua. That's my favorite faction.
Well, good time, Steve.
Keep on keeping on, I guess.
Did you like the Barriquas?
I honestly don't know who the Barriquas is. Do you know the Barriquas, President Clinton?
Just learn more about wrestling if you're going to host the show.
Well, I never claimed to be an expert, but...
Best faction ever. That's what they are. Some people love the NWO. Some people love DX. No. This is the tops right here.
Yes.
So where are you calling from tonight, Steve?
Should I take an insult from this guy, though? Well, he has one-word answers.
You know what? These guys with one-word answers, they're not all there up top, you know? They're kind of slow. You can't take them for more than what they are.
Agree with what? That, Steve? No, that's over. That's over with.
Well, sorry, Steve.
You can't play that song, Steve. Unless he was playing the original. And then I would get up and start doing a little jig. Screaming E-haw.
Probably owe some royalties if he was playing that one.
I think he probably did anyways. We got another caller in the line. Zalgo 13. How's it going, my man?
We're bound for glory.
Aldo, are you there?
These matches,
hey, these guys are pretty awesome.
I'm a big fan of Steve. He brought a lot of hard-hitting questions and it really enlightened the audience.
That he did. I was with him until he started playing that Bound for Glory song.
Bound for Glory!
Kept tuning out at that.
Shout out to Willie Morey!
Bow
for glory.
Sure.
Well, he's gone now.
Aw.
But anyway, is there anything on your mind about the world of professional wrestling?
A couple things. I guess first is, I guess I'm the only one that likes Bow for Glory.
Some people liked it. A lot of people on Facebook did.
Yeah, I was kind of psyched because I thought it was going to be a really good show, but it didn't get me going. So, you liked it. Well, what'd you like about it?
Well, to be honest, after listening to y'all's review, maybe it wasn't as good as I thought it was.
So we talked you out of it?
Well, I think, to be honest, a lot of it, I mean, I thought, I wouldn't say it was a bad show. I think because I paid $55 for Battleground, I kind of used that as a barometer. And that show to me was just terrible. At least TNA delivered on a main event, whether you agree or disagree about who won, you know? It's like they had a non-finish on Battleground. That was the worst. I haven't watched WWE since. But I'll be back, I mean, around Rumble time probably when things get good. But I thought that was brutal. You pay $55, you get a non-finish, but I guess that's old news. So that's probably why I like Bound for Glory.
I will say that was probably the worst pay-per-view finish in a very long time when they just if you're going to do something like that, don't make it the last match. Throw it in the middle of the card.
Yeah, I've never seen anything like it. I've been watching wrestling pretty solid since, off and on since the 80s, and then pretty solid since the mid-90s. I don't remember ever seeing that on a pay-per-view. At least the one that I ordered. That was pretty bad, I thought.
Yeah. Non-finish in a wrestling pay-per-view. I can't think of any right offhand, but I don't know. I'm sure it's happened, but who knows? That was one.
Yeah, I mean, at the very least, Bound for Glory, at least besides the one match, I guess, with, well, I guess you could say the women's match and the EC3. I thought they were all at least good in-ring. And I actually thought the tag match was a surprise. I mean, because I'm a big Robbie E fan, and I was really shocked that they won, you know? So I think that's a positive.
I think that was a positive thing, them winning the belts, actually. I don't like the team of Storm and Gunner, and I do get a kick out of Robbie. So I was happy to see that. And like I said, I thought that was a pretty good match. It's wrestling wise, I thought that was a good match. It just kind of came out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think I even saw on the message board, the angle rude thing. I mean, I thought the match was great, but I didn't like the finish on that either. But to me, it's the main event, and to me, I like Bully Ray, but the way they were telling the story, it paid off. It was one of those things where they didn't swerve you. You know, I just felt kind of like, why didn't AJ win if he got, you know, that's the whole point, you know? Somebody has to be bullied.
Go ahead.
The first Bound for Glory, if you remember, where they... I mean, I love Kurt Angle, and I was cool with the finish, but I can understand, you know, you had Reed win this series that took like 100 years, and then, like, he lost. It was like, wow, you know, on that, when it was Reed and Angle on the first Bound for Glory series final or whatever, apparently because Hogan said so. So, to me, AJ winning, sometimes doing, you know, things that you see a mile away is still the right thing if they're trying to swerve people. So, if that makes any sense.
No, I think AJ winning the belt was the direction that they should have gone, and they basically had to go.
Yep.
So I have no problem with that. My problem was Dixie coming out there and telling Earl not to count, and then 2 minutes later, Earl just counts without putting up any. That didn't make any sense to me. He should have at least done a very slow two count and just kind of came down because he had to. But he just counted normal. It's like Dixie just stopped caring at that point. She's like, oh, yeah, go ahead and count, I guess, whatever.
Just go ahead and give him the belt. I care.
But again, I just compare it to Battleground, so.
I was just
happy.
Think,
I got to finish.
Like, this is supposed to be TNA's, like, WrestleMania, and just AJ Styles versus Bully Ray, it just doesn't seem like that type of quality of main event. Even for, like, TNA standards. I mean, I guess AJ Styles is a big star, but, man, he has been stale recently. I think Bully Ray's probably been, like, you know, pretty crisp, you know, with all his material he's been doing. But AJ, it's just, does anybody really care about him?
Well, I can't say I care about him that much. I think I care about him a lot more than I used to. I really honestly think that, I've always liked his in-ring work, but I think he's gotten, I have to say, I used to be a big critic of him on the mic, but I think he's gotten a lot better on the mic. I mean, I used to compare him to, like, Shelton Benjamin, and, you know, how bad he is. And I think he's come along kind of like Christopher Daniels. I could not stand that guy, and, you know, but he's got this character, you know. So I think him and Kaz, I could have cared less about those two guys for years. And now I think they're great, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think the thing about TNA, I like, you know, I'm not trying to be the number one TNA fan, but it's like, it's once a week, 2 hours, it's over.
That's always been my rationale for TNA.
Yeah.
2 hours, it's a watchable show most of the time, but the fact that it comes on Thursday, I'm usually wrestled out by then.
Are you guys telling me you do not watch Explosion?
If it ain't on TV, it doesn't exist as far as I'm concerned. I don't get ROH. It doesn't happen.
Yeah.
I was watching for a pretty good while the online sync tube that Norrin Rad does, but I have fallen out of doing that, unfortunately. So I haven't been able to keep up with it. But if it doesn't happen on my TV, it doesn't happen.
But, it's just, TNA is what it is. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and try to convince people it's great, because I can't be honest and say it's great either. But, you know, I thought, maybe it's just low expectations, but I thought I couldn't say it was a bad show, but I definitely wouldn't argue with anybody if they said it was.
Yeah. Well, they definitely packed the house for the Bound for Glory.
There are some very embarrassing photos of the crowd at this show. It's like everyone has floor seats is what it looks like. There is nobody in the upper normal seating of a stadium.
Yeah.
It's all everybody's on the floor around the ring. It's just a joke.
Like, you can tell this one picture is taken from, like, kind of higher up. You know, so there might have been people on that side, or maybe that guy just walked to the top of the arena to take that photo to get, like, everybody in the frame.
You know, I will say a lot of times people take these photos purposely to make it look bad, which I don't understand, because then you're the douchebag who was the idiot who went to the show. But these pictures just look horrible.
Yeah, I mean, they clearly don't have one side of the arena filled at all. Like, whether this other side where this person took this photo, if it was filled or not, I mean... But yeah, I mean, this is supposed to be your WrestleMania, and it looks like this?
There's literally 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, like 16 people sitting in the upper bowl of this.
That was the $20 seat.
Yeah.
Or the $15 seat.
That
probably would have been where I was sitting. I was like, you know, I want to go, but I don't want to shell out that much money. What was that, Glogo?
I was just saying, it's pretty sad they couldn't paper it more, because at the end, you got to just fill seats.
Yeah.
You know? I honestly didn't notice it too much.
Well, they shot it well. I didn't notice it either, but...
Yeah, I didn't notice it on the pay-per-view.
Looking at these pictures, it's just pitiful.
You got to give the production guy, like, you know, or the director of the show, just a big feather in his cap. Because he did not, like, it looked like a pretty decent show on television.
Now, at the end of the show, AJ went into the crowd, into the stands, I thought. So did they just have a bunch of people move to that section? Maybe these photos are more misleading than they truly were.
Uh-huh. Because he did run into the crowd, and it seemed like you saw a lot of people.
Unless they moved the people up there.
They CG'd them in or something.
Yeah.
TNA can't do that.
No. I was just being silly. Jiminy Christmas. This is bad, TNA. Bad. I know you guys kind of don't always fill your arenas, but this is supposed to be your biggest show. Not good.
Yeah. But, I mean, I'm glad they don't do pay-per-views every month. I'm one of the two. I'm glad. I think WWE should come back. But
well, it's kind of like, I was just thinking, like, if they had, like, some sort of a big show, like, every month, it was like, it might kind of get me somewhat interested.
Maybe like a Clash of the Champions, but call something else, but just the TNA.
I guess they do have, like, shows on Impact now that are, like, you know...
Yeah, they do that, like, once every month or every 5 or 6 weeks or something.
Mm-hmm.
They just use an old pay-per-view name and then show it on Impact in 2 hours, so...
I guess technically they do have a pay-per-view every month because of contractual obligations, but I don't watch those tape pay-per-views that they did back in February. I can't watch a tape pay-per-view.
Yeah, I couldn't pay money for that.
The other thing I wanted to talk about real quick was the, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but, RVD. The reason I ordered Battleground was, I'm probably in the minority on the Headyverse, but I'm like a big RVD mark. A lot of people think he's, you know, past it, and, you know, it's obviously slowed down, but, you know, I mean, if you consider he's one of the original ECW guys, he's held up pretty well compared to, you know, like Balls Mahoney and, you know, he's like the last ECW original, I think, could pull off a match that I could think of anyway. But to me, this last run, I really thought it was terrible how RVD was used. I mean, you can say what you want about him, but I think he, unless it was just one of those deals where it was just a 90-day contract and, you know, they couldn't put the belt on him, I just thought it was a waste of a run, you know? I thought TNA did better with him when he first came in.
Well, they did with TNA. They, you know, they gave him the belt, and
yeah,
they had the big confetti celebration, and blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, he got basically murdered by Abyss in his piece of wood yeah. with nails in it.
Yeah. So I guess my thing is, what did y'all think of this last RVD run in WWE? I thought there was something there. He had momentum. I really think, I don't know how close y'all keep up, but I guess it was the, what was that pay-per-view in July with the Money in the Bank or whatever? I think that's what it was called. And they had, like, bigger buys than usual.
Yeah.
I think you can make an argument curiosity for RVD coming back. But, I mean, we'll never know. But
I
mean,
I
a lot of
it helped.
Tapping out. Yeah.
He tapped out
to Alberto. Yeah, I thought that was just lame. I mean, I've never seen RVD tap. I know it's a work and everything, but that was a burial, I thought.
Well, I think RVD in WWE is definitely better than RVD in TNA, but I don't know. I think it's helped his star power somewhat. So, but yeah,
it seemed like he was trying a lot more, especially at the beginning of this run,
mm-hmm.
and in TNA for a while, you could just tell he was just kind of going through the motions and didn't care. But I thought he picked up his game, especially when he first came back to WWE. But apparently he wasn't happy with his run, is what I read.
So is it over? Is he out of the company?
I think he just had a short-term deal. So I don't know if he's done or if it's only he has only so many dates and they don't want to use him right now or something like that.
The last I heard, who knows if it's true, is like it's a cycle, like 90 days. He works straight, or not 90 days straight, but a 90-day contract, and then like a short break, whatever that means, and then another 90 days. I don't know how true that is. So maybe he's back by Rumble. But the other thing I wanted to touch on real quick is the that WWE 2K14 game coming out. I haven't really been into wrestling games since, like, the last one I was really into was, like, No Mercy for N64.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the 5 pro games, I like those too, but the trailers look pretty good. It's got a lot of guys in it. Y'all heard anything about it? You gonna pick it up? Or?
This seems like it's the wrestling game that I have wanted for years now, because it's got a lot of legendary wrestlers, and it uses normal game control, is from what I can tell. Because they put out that Legends of WrestleMania game, or whatever it was called, and it was one of those stupid arcade version games where it was, you know, extra cartoony and weird and stuff like that. That's not what I want. I don't want to play a video game where I can be JTG or Evan Bourne. I want Hulk Hogan. I want Ric Flair. I want Macho Man. And maybe it's just my age, but this game has me interested. And you know, I buy the wrestling game every about 3 or 4 years, because the way I look at it is I don't need to get it every year because it ain't that different. But yeah. I'm thinking about getting this one. I haven't pre-ordered it or pulled the trigger on that or anything, but I'm considering it.
Yeah, it looks pretty good.
About the gameplay. I don't know if this means anything, guys, but you know the Aki game system that they use for the N64 wrestling games. I don't think there's been anything better. To me, I didn't like the SmackDown versus Raw or SmackDown, whatever. Here Comes the Pain. System that I like the N64 game system. I thought that was perfect. Yeah, I've never played. The closest I played, there was a game called, I guess, like Def Jam or something. It wasn't really wrestlers. It was like rappers, I guess.
Yeah, the people who made that made the games for WWE back in the day. So it was like the same people who created those games.
I mean, do you guys agree that was like the best game system for a wrestling game?
N64 was pretty great for wrestling games. Like, you had that and No Mercy and all that.
No Mercy and WCW NWO World Tour. Yeah. I enjoyed that one.
Mm-hmm.
WCW NWO Revenge.
Yeah.
And then you had WrestleMania 2000 and all those games. It was good stuff. But the more recent SmackDown versus Raws were better, I thought, as far as like the system goes. So you might kind of really dig this new one that comes out. So. Hopefully. Yeah, I guess the 2K14 is going to be a lot like the ones that they had previously. I guess just where THQ is like... Isn't THQ out of business or something like that now?
Yeah. And then they got bought out by... I don't know, somebody else.
Mm-hmm. So, I guess it's going to be kind of the same style of gaming, so...
It's my understanding they got, like, the same team working on it. They just all got hired on by this new company.
Mm-hmm.
So, it should be similar. I will say that just from the previews I've seen, there is one thing that I've always hated in wrestling games, and it's the stupidest nitpicky thing. But there is... because they have this Road to WrestleMania mode... And obviously WrestleMania 8's Macho Man versus Ric Flair. And then they're showing this clip of Ric Flair walking to the ring, and he's wearing the belt on the outside of his robe. And I'm like, why can't you just put the robe over the belt? I don't understand why the graphics have to work that way. Maybe it's just impossible to put the belt under the robe and have it there. I don't know. It just bothers me to no end.
Hmm.
I just hope the gameplay is not like the like I was talking about one of the SmackDown games for like the PlayStation 2, because I hated that. Some people loved it, but I thought it was too button. I call it like button pushing. I thought with the N64 ones you had to have timing, you know.
And yeah.
I hope it's not a button mashing kind of wrestling game, because that'll ruin it for me.
It kind of seemed like they developed more into like the timing aspect with like reversals and stuff on on some of the later games. Like if you're thinking of like Here Comes the Pain, that was more of the button mashing. They kind of eliminated some of that. They do have some of those elements in it, but it's not quite the same. It's more based on timing, it seems like, and you can even reverse moves and stuff now. So you'll probably dig it. You'll just have to check it out. I mean. I'm the same way. I want it like how it was back in the days, like for the N64 and stuff. But I don't know. They're pretty good games that they're developing nowadays. But alrighty, Clogo, we gotta go. We got some more callers here.
Okay. I got one more thing though, real quick.
Okay. All
right.
Just real quick. Is there any chance you could do a Castlevania show venture? One day,
I'm sure I could. I just do my own little...
Without your headboard, and it's like a tumbleweed came through that board. And the only person that posts on there is like a spam bot. So I think it'd be cool if you did a Castlevania show. Like, I don't know. I know it'd probably be a lot of hassle, but... Cause
yeah,
like
it wouldn't be so hard. I could probably do it off the top of my head. Just go through all the crap that I have and... Like, the very few items that I don't, but there's not too many.
You could cut out a few usual callers and just talk about Castlevania. That'd make me happy.
We'll see. I'm just not sure if the Hediverse is that much into Castlevania. And now that the last
time... But there's a lot of talk about bedspreads, man.
I must say, since when have we cared about what the listeners are very much into with what we talk about?
That is true.
Well, I'll let y'all go.
I'm all for it, but Golgo, it's good talking to you, my man.
Good talking to you guys. Take care.
Good call.
Mm-hmm. 828 area code. Who are you?
Did somebody say that there was a party going on in inyourheadonline.com tonight?
I guess
you
so.
Know who this is, don't you?
It's Carol.
Oh. You got it.
Oh, man.
Who
Carol.
Were you thinking it was, President Clinton?
I don't know. Fidel Castro?
You got it.
That would be an interesting
number one answer. Number one answer.
So what have you been into, Carol?
What's happening online tonight?
Oh, we're just sitting here talking some wrestling.
We're fanging and banging.
Fanging and banging for 20 minutes.
I hear you. I definitely hear you loud and clear.
Actually, I think that was less than 20 minutes. It was like 10 minutes. But he was still a good dude. Some people said he was being a dick, but I thought he was a good dude. But
I like that. I mean, it was what it was because he had to go, but it was nice of him to at least do it.
Yeah.
And he was fanging and banging.
I just got tickled about what he said about the Castlevania. I'm sitting there thinking... God, everybody wants to do a Nintendo show? That would be cool.
I could easily sway and make this into a Nintendo show, but I want the wrestling fans to be happy by the time we end this this podcast here.
These podcast marks will listen no matter what we talk about.
I hear you. Now, what's been going on? Me and Katie's got our own apartment now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's nice.
And got me a brand new game room.
Heck yeah, that's cool. You going to get a bunch of your buddies down there, and you going to play the new WWE game?
I thought about it.
You know, you can't invite me down because I'll just murder you in it.
Well, come on down. Come on down. We'll play some.
You'll accept the challenge?
Yes. I'm looking for a challenge or something, you know.
Well, you can't have me and Jack and President over because, you know, we're all big babies. One of us will pull the controller out and just throw it out the
window. Well, you know, Jack probably won't play. I mean, well, he might play a little bit, but, mm-hmm. you know. But that'd be fine. Y'all come on down. We'll have some fun.
He's very competitive. If you just tell him that you know you can beat him in it, it'll probably, spark that competitive spirit in him, and he'll have to play it.
So. You could play it on my brand new, well, it's a year old now, but you can still play it on my Nitro arcade machine.
Well, if I get mad, though, I'll pull my shotgun out and shoot it, so you don't want that to happen.
Ain't that the truth?
Damn right it is.
Mm-hmm.
You got it.
Carol, did you watch the Monday Night Raw or the Bound for Glory pay-per-view?
I was really shocked about what I saw on Facebook the other night because somebody had took a picture of Bound for Glory, and did you see that there were hardly anybody? Well, there was a lot of people there, but did you see on Facebook?
Like the arena, how it wasn't filled up?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty sad.
I was really shocked about that. I was thinking, good God.
They must have stopped giving away tickets or something. I mean,
something must have happened because you never see that at a pay-per-view.
I mean, what the hell? Did they not give out any freebies? I mean, what's the deal here? They're getting all stingy all of a sudden.
Yeah, that was kind of a shock because I thought, well, good God, maybe their ratings are going down, you know. Or something. Something's up.
President Clinton, you have all the reports. Has the ratings gone down on TNA Impact?
I think the ratings for Impact are where they always are.
I think it might have been the area, maybe. It was like, that's probably not a very, like, I don't know, like,
I don't know
San
why
Diego?
They try to run California.
Yeah.
What, are there any rumors going around that, based from what I understand, somebody said on Facebook or whatever, Twitter or whatever, that Vince bought TNA. And
no, I don't think that's true or not.
I'm pretty sure that's false.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that didn't happen. I mean,
he did buy WCW. I heard that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that sucked, though. But
I mean, Vince, you know, I'm sure Vince could shell out a grand any time and just buy TNA, but he probably...
You know, when Vincent Mann bought out WCW, he just burned it down the hole or flushed it down the toilet.
Uh-huh.
I mean, WCW was good, you know.
Yeah.
And now they got this. Now they got this thing. This is best for business. Crap going on, you know. I mean, I got you best for business.
Mm-hmm. You just don't want to see it, Carl. I hear you, my man.
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff I've been watching recently is just like I don't care about a lot of this.
No, I don't either. Yeah. I don't either. And then you got. WWE is firing people right and left and doing this, and then you got Dixie Carter turning on everybody, and all the crowd is saying, you suck, mm-hmm. you know. And then, I mean, and then you got people saying, oh, did Vince buy TNA? Or why did Hulk Hogan quit TNA? Or what's happening, you know? And then, you know, I just, it's unreal.
I hear you. Have you talked to Jackie recently? What does he think about the world of professional wrestling nowadays?
I haven't talked to him in a while. The last time I saw him was at the Fan Fest this past year.
Mm-hmm.
And he was going to give me a copy of the glory days of the Jim Crockett Promotions.
Yeah.
And I already had bought one. And he was going to give me a copy because he asked me, he says, you got a copy of it? And I said, yeah, I bought it today. And he was going to give me one while I was at the Fan Fest.
Cool.
And he walked out of there with like three or four of them in his hand.
Yeah, he was just like, he was Bogarting them. He was just taking them.
Exactly.
He wasn't handing nobody no copies.
Yeah.
Alrighty, Carol.
But next year, I will be there again. And even though they say this is the last one, I hope everybody shows up.
Yeah, I plan on trying to make it. Plan on it.
I hope everybody shows up, including President Clinton, because he was a cool guy, too. So
I am a cool guy.
That's right. I want everybody to know that in your head, President Clinton is a cool guy.
Well, there you go. You got Carol's endorsement, President Clinton.
That's right.
Probably the best endorsement I've ever received.
There you go.
That's right. And I hope you come to the Fan Fest next year, too.
All right,
I'm planning
Carol.
On it.
You take her easy, my man. We'll catch up with you later.
All right. That'll be cool. You got my number, John. You got my number.
Yep, I've got it. I'll call you up.
You call me anytime.
I'll call you up, and I'll tell you about all the good video games that I found, and you can't have.
I've got to get your telephone number again because I've lost it during the move.
Oh, you
unless
did?
It's in one of my boxes or whatever.
Uh-oh. I'll hook you up. All righty, Carol.
All right. All right, we appreciate it, and we will talk to y'all again.
See you, my man.
See ya.
See you, Carol.
See ya.
See you,
Carol.
Such
a nice cat.
He is. Carol's a good dude. It's been a while since we talked to him. All righty, President Clinton. Are you ready?
I am ready. What am I ready for?
To talk to a real journalist.
Am I talking to myself?
No. None other than the man himself. He's done an article for In Your Head. Well, I don't know if it's an article, but it's about to come out on the digital version. Mike Bessler, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, guys. I'm sorry to say I've been on hold for like 15, 20 minutes, and that last caller just took all my A-list material, so I have like nothing to talk about.
Well, I know you're about to break the big story about how Vince McMahon purchased TNA, but...
He did? I've got to go. I've got to make a few calls. I'm sorry. I really got to chase this story down. This is huge. I actually called it to talk about TNA, if you guys are still talking about wrestling.
Yeah, sure, what the hell?
You've covered an awful lot of territory.
Really, we've talked about wrestling and sluts and tattoos, and that's about it.
Well, that was like in the first 5 minutes of the show, actually.
Yeah.
It's a tough week to talk about wrestling.
I was listening to you guys talking earlier. I actually do listen to the show, so I know like what's been covered in the last
so
2 hours.
So you're unlike every other caller.
Give this man a heady.
So, I hope I'm not like intellectualizing this too much, but there are a couple. I mean, the thing about I'm kind of a big TNA fan. I maybe I'm like easy to please, but I do think that TNA is more entertaining than Superstars. I think it's it's more unpredictable than SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
So and I like the talent. I mean, I really do like most of the talent on TNA on any given week. I do think that the main event, I do agree with you guys that the main event was really tarnished by the Dixie angle. And in a way, I think it has a lot to do with I'm not sure that people really care. You know, AJ's got the belt now, and it's supposed to be almost kind of like a CM Punk or maybe like a Steve Austin kind of thing where he's going to make Dixie Carter's life horrible. And I think most people don't care. I think most people really don't care what happens to Dixie. And again, this is just all my opinion, but it seems to me like the people who are writing right now mistake the disdain that fans have for Dixie as heat. And they're two totally different things. One of the things I want to ask your guys' opinion about is I just happened tonight, I was finishing up, I got a cheap copy of WrestleMania 21 on DVD, and the very last thing I watched earlier this evening was Hulk Hogan's Hall of Fame induction speech, which was absolutely horrible. It's the last thing on a 3-DVD set, and it's, like, terrible, terrible. But Eric Bischoff is in the crowd for that, and he gets a lot of boos and catcalls and everything when Hogan calls on him a couple times every time they cut to him, but Hogan actually mentions him and thanks him. Bischoff, in my opinion, at least for the WWE years, not WCW and not TNA, had a combination of disdain and heat that made him work well as a character, made him work well as on-screen talent. Dixie doesn't have that. She doesn't have anything close to that. I was wondering if you guys, first of all, if you agree with that, and second, if you think anybody has done that as well as WWE-era Bischoff did.
I have always thought that Bischoff is good, is a good TV character. Whether or not he is actually a good executive or good at running a promotion, I have no idea. But I have always thought he's an excellent television character. Even in TNA, I thought he was just kind of this smarmy, excellent sort of heel that you just kind of want to. I get a kick out of heels nowadays, but he does enough stuff where you're like, oh, I hope he gets his comeuppance. And I think Bischoff is very good in that role, and there's no one of an equivalent sort of a role right now that does the same thing that Bischoff has done.
Certainly not Dixie, right?
No, I mean, nowhere close.
And it's a really good distinction that you make, too, as far as executive and creative versus on screen, because I could be wrong. I mean, maybe this has changed, but if I'm not mistaken, I think Bischoff came into TNA as all three, transitioned mostly to on screen, but now has taken more of a leading role backstage as he's been off TV for so long, and the product is kind of floundering again. So, I mean, there is that distinction there where there's that common thread where on TV there's some good stuff, off TV back, making some backstage decisions, maybe not so much.
Yeah, like I said, I've never worked for Eric Bischoff. I loved all of his Nitro era. That stuff is my favorite stuff in wrestling, basically. But did he ruin it and throw this? Is it his fault the company's out of business? I don't know. But it's an entertaining character on screen. Bischoff has always entertained me, even in WCW. And when he wasn't as good as he was when he was in WWE, but the stuff he did, with, like when he was challenging Vince McMahon to a match, his little vignettes and stuff like that, I thought all that was really good stuff. So on screen character, Bischoff is money to me. And I mean, that's Vicky Guerrero. I also think the other part with Dixie is it's hard to get that sort of actual. I don't want to call it actual heat, not just disdain on a woman.
Right.
You
started to mention. I heard you start to mention Vicky Guerrero, and
it's not
the
same thing.
Actually, regardless of what you think about her, she can play a character. I'm not so sure that Dixie has that in her to play that kind of character, and to try to make her do it week after week is kind of painful, you know, for somebody who watches the show on a regular basis.
Well, Vicky has got her shtick down, but I think it's more of a similar thing that it's not wrestling heat where you
But
it's just disdain, too.
She's had a lot of time around the business, you know, with her husband and everything. And she can, like, you know how to be like an on-screen persona, where Dixie Carter, I mean, well, what sort of experiences has she really had? I mean, and Eric Bischoff, I mean, he's been around forever. So it's
I think the fans know the difference, too, with Vicky, because at the end of the day, people will I don't know if I've actually seen it. I'm not sure why I'm so confident in saying this, but I feel like fans would actually put aside all the crazy stuff they've had her do and actually embrace her for, like you guys said, the time in the business, the fact that she was, you know, that she's Eddie's widow. I think that fans would embrace her in a way that I don't think they would ever embrace Dixie, you know, in a very real way where they could separate, you know, with Vicky, they could easily separate the two. And I don't think people are willing to do that with Dixie at all. And I think that's why these angles don't work. I think that's why whatever they're trying to do right now, whether it's kind of, I mean, it really is unfortunate how similar this is to the whole Money in the Bank CM Punk thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, whether they're trying to recreate that, or I mean, there were so many different elements of everything in there with the screw job piece and all this other stuff. People aren't buying it, and I don't know. I mean, do you guys think people would buy it if it didn't involve Dixie? I mean, because I think I would have liked to see the end of the AJ Bully Ray match and angle if it didn't involve her. If it actually involved the collapse of Aces and Eights, which apparently still, you know, isn't going to happen because he still has two guys plus his girlfriend. So I mean, you felt like that was imminent for weeks and weeks and weeks, and that loose end wasn't wrapped up, so they're going to go somewhere else. And you have this other thing with Dixie that I think most people don't really care about. It doesn't seem like a whole lot was accomplished at the Bound for Glory, other than the title change, because a lot of people just don't care about what happens next.
Yeah.
I don't mean to be too critical of the product, but that's just how I feel after seeing that pay-per-view.
I don't disagree with you at all, and we did our good number on the pay per view already too, but on the Aces and Eights thing, I was thinking the same thing for a while, and then I'm like, well, maybe they're going somewhere because Baby Boy Bischoff came out and he really didn't do anything other than walk out and distract, and then Mike Knox did come out and I think he beat up AJ a little bit, if I remember right. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But he didn't do much.
Yeah, there was something there, yeah.
He didn't do much either, and then they didn't come back out when they needed help later. And that's where I was expecting to see, like, they shoot something backstage after Dixie comes out, and that's where you saw those two laid out and probably the Hulkster standing over them or something stupid like that. But
would have been cool. I mean, it would have been cool. You know, you think about all these things that didn't happen.
Yeah.
And then you compare it to what did happen, and it really is kind of like a WTF moment, you know, every time. You know, it's like hitting a wall every time.
But then now I'm probably overthinking it, but I'm thinking to myself, well, is it because there's Aces and Eights is over, they're tired of this guy, they're like, well, we both helped him once, we're done with him, or is it just they're stupid and they were in the lair getting drunk, or I don't know. Why didn't they come back out? Why was it just Dixie Carter by herself and Bully Ray looked confused?
Yeah, and I think it's kind of like, and maybe it's just a thing with quote-unquote mature wrestling fans, where we try to make sense out of angles so that we can wrap it up and move on to the next one. But it's funny, I mean, you know, we could like sit here and kind of like, you know, be armchair bookers, and I think a lot of people would call us, like, you know, wrestling nerds or geeks or whatever, but
did you know
that there is a subculture online, I stumbled on it recently, of fan fiction for WWE and other wrestling organizations? I've never seen this before, and I was trying to find a quote about Matt Hardy, and I actually found somebody who had written an entire book, like a chapter book online, that was fan fiction about Matt and Jeff Hardy.
So, oh, you're not talking about the erotica stuff. You're just talking
I'm just talking about, I mean, you could almost give a tip of the hat to the erotica stuff because somebody's adding in an ingredient that's not there. But no, this is just somebody like writing, like, you know, actual chapters with narratives and conversations.
Yeah, that was.
So the next time you feel bad about overthinking something, at least you're not, you know, that guy.
No, I am that guy, and I was just wondering what you thought about it.
It was, it was lackluster. I think more pictures, fewer adjectives, better verbs.
Look at the adjective. Play. I'm not here to play.
We had a few like people who's write like mock-up kind of raw shows, and they're pretty explicit, so I don't know if we can go over them right
We've
now.
We've had
but.
One of those, haven't we?
I think there's been a few people who've sent in some, like, really explicit scripts for Monday Night Raw. And we've just laughed our asses off reading them. And, yeah,
well,
of course,
that'd be a good dramatic reading. That'd be a good podcast segment. I don't want to tell you guys how to do your jobs or anything like that. But, you know, I think to pick a few characters and, you know, kind of read them in character, that'd make for some compelling podcasting. What the hell else are you guys going to do for 4 hours?
Make up a pay-per-view from Rio de Janeiro.
I was there, buddy. We didn't make it.
I guess why I still have you here, let me pick your brain on this. It seems like, and I don't think they're doing it effectively, but it seems like TNA wants to set up the next angles during current angles, where WWE is more of a start-stop sort of thing. It looks like TNA is trying to build in subplots there for angles to go in after current things have ended. So it's just not like, okay, this guy beat this guy, now we got to find a reason for him to fight guy C. Do you see that, or am I just making this up?
I think I understand what you're talking about, and I can tell you kind of a combination of like kind of what I've heard and what I've observed, and then just what I think. I could be funny about it and say, because in some respects, I think WWE has never given wrestling fans enough credit, you know, to feel like they're intelligent, like we're intelligent enough to follow a multifaceted storyline. You know, it's like for several years, their writing has been like, well, we don't think the fans can follow things that involve, you know, subplots and continuity and history and stuff like that. Whereas TNA maybe gives people a little bit too much credit and says, let's just throw a whole bunch of crap at people and see what they track out of this. And, you know, sometimes maybe they won't remember it, so on and so forth. But I think TNA is, there are a lot of good people who work for TNA, who work in TNA, who work for TNA. And you guys know what I mean. I don't mean to sound stupid. I mean, you know, that work in the business end, the work in the creative end, and then the people who do the in-ring product. There are a lot of really good people. And there is a sincere desire for that product to succeed and evolve, for it to improve over time, quality-wise. And I think what they try to do is keep things fairly fluid. And when an angle is developing maybe a little bit too quickly, or if they feel right or wrong that fans aren't with it, that they're going to maybe make some subtle tweaks. You know, WWE zigzags. When you talk about that start-stop, like, they'll just kill something and the next week act like it's not there. TNA will, like, tweak and try to maybe jerk it in a little different direction or something like that. And I think that's a response to what they think is going on, to try to stay with the fan base, to try to make it build. And unfortunately, it puts some people off who are expecting something that they're not getting out of the product week after week. Does that make sense? I don't want to just sound like I'm like talking out of my butt or something like that, but that's...
No, I get what you're saying. It's kind of where I was... I think I was trying to go with that. I don't think I put the question out there quite so right either. It just seems like there's a different... which should be better in my mind. What TNA is trying to do makes more sense. You want it to be more, well, it's more, TNA almost wants it to be more like an episodic weekly television show where stuff ties in together and stuff that happened 6 weeks ago lead into what happened, you know, lead into what's going on now. Whereas WWE, it's, you know, this guy said something mean about this other guy in the back. 2 weeks later, they're wrestling, and then 2 weeks later, they have a pay-per-view match, and they might do it again for another month, and then, you know, they might be tag team partners in 2 months. You know, it's...
I think you made a really good point earlier that I think is important for people to hear, you know, to hear you say when you're on a podcast or something like that talking about this stuff. We've never worked for these people. We don't know exactly what they're thinking, but some of the differences in style are, you know, come from the fact that both companies are still trying to figure out what their product is and what it should be today compared to what it came from. Because it's, you know, very different. I mean, you use the episodic television thing to describe what TNA is aspiring to be, but that's like WWE's, like, moniker. That's like their claim to fame. It's like the longest running episodic television show on the air right now. So, you know, which one has the better product in that respect? Which one has the better product related to how the old school, I mean, the old school thing used to be somebody calling somebody out or somebody talking bad about something like that. So, you know, it's hard to tell. As a fan, it's almost hard to express what you expect it to be. I think one of the things we've gotten really good at is talking about what we don't like.
Yeah, exactly. I guess I'm trying to say is I think TNA is more like what you used to see. They're trying to stretch things out and do more stuff where it's long term and it's little things like. Like when Macho Man wins the belt and then he's teaming with Hogan and then at one point Hogan accidentally touches Liz's ass and, you know,
sure,
Macho Man sees this and then months later this happens and then, you know, the Big Boss Man knocks over Liz, Hogan carries her the back and boom, there's lust and blah, blah, blah and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like nowadays WWE is not there. That doesn't exist. Stuff that happened 6 months ago matters nothing in the product.
Oh yeah. Continuity's been. I mean, I'm a continuity guy. I really like that, and that's why I actually liked Matt Stryker so much on commentary. I think you guys have cracked on him quite a bit in recent months, but I really liked him because he is like a talking encyclopedia of wrestling. And he would talk about continuity stuff, but it was really distant past stuff because you're not allowed to talk about, you know, a year ago, 2 years, stuff like that. Continuity and you're right. I mean, I understand where you're getting at now. I think TNA is really trying to do that, and I absolutely do see where you're coming from on that. But, yeah, WWE, they want their product to be something that is always – and instantaneously relevant, and if that means ignoring something that happened last week, if that means basically pretending like the anonymous general manager angle that went on for how many months, you know, suddenly doesn't exist for several months at a time, I mean, they'll do that.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate because, again, I think if you're following an episodic television show, you want things to make sense. You want there to be some continuity and callback, and it just doesn't happen very often. I think one of my favorite times, though, that they've done that almost as a nod to we do an awful lot of crap that doesn't make sense was that time where, what was it, Triple H and one of the McMahons maybe and Kane all ended up on the same side for a Royal Rumble, and all of a sudden somebody said, "Hey, by the way, why are we on the same side, Kane? Because you did this and you did that," and he's like, "Oh yeah, you know, sorry about that." And it was kind of funny. I'm really, really paraphrasing that, but it was hilarious because it was actually, and I don't think it was insulting. It was just, "Hey, by the way, we know that we do a really crappy job with continuity and things don't always make sense." And the other thing was when Kofi Kingston lost his accent.
I remember when Triple H cracked on him for that. He says, "Hey, aren't you supposed to be Jamaican or something?"
Yeah, but it was literally 5 seconds.
A
5 second bit ended something that had been in place for what, like a year? So it's I think it's something that grudgingly you have to accept about the company and the way they do business right now. And I think a lot of that's, again, this is just my guess, I think a lot of that's Vince McMahon's preference. I do see, I don't usually say a lot of really good complimentary things about Triple H, but I do see him as somebody who had, you know, he's trained by Killer Kowalski. I think he has a lot of respect for the way things used to be done. And you may see some changes to the overall culture as he would become more influential, but I wouldn't hold your breath.
I think Vince has got to die before he really gets the big changes.
And who knows when that'll be.
Yeah.
But
thanks a lot for talking to me, guys. I really appreciate you.
Hey, no problem. It was a pleasure.
I've been a good call.
I can't wait to read the article in PWI.
Yeah, I hope it's as, you know, I hope it's worthwhile. And, you know.
Oh, you know me. If I see my name in print, I'm just gonna be, you know, aghast.
There aren't many podcasts that have been around as long as you guys are that book the kind of guests that you do. That, you know, I don't want to say quality with, like, you know, Jack's bogus call earlier this evening and some of the Jimmy Jam stuff. And so we'll skirt the word. We'll skirt the term quality here for this. But I mean, you guys do a lot of stuff that I think anybody with a laptop and maybe a microphone could try to put on a podcast. But I mean, this is the kind of thing that I think about when I think about a wrestling podcast that I want to listen to. Yeah. Although, like, sometimes I cringe a little bit, I still want to listen to it.
How could you ever cringe listening to this show?
And if I call in next week, I promise I will have something to talk about in the way of, like, Castlevania or Nintendo 64 or something like that. I'll try. Fire Pro Wrestling Returns on the PS2 is the only wrestling game I will play for the rest of my life.
Okay. Actually,
I have 300 created characters on there. So, I mean, why invest in anything new? I'm too old to learn anything new at this point, anyway.
They did have, like, files out where you could download them and, like, put them onto your memory card, and, like, you had a whole bunch of, like, arenas already made for that game. But it's been quite a while since.
Oh yeah,
they
had the ETW arena. I mean, yeah. people could figure out how to make the logos and all that stuff, and you know. I always liked it for creative character, but I don't know what you guys thought about Fire Pro, but as soon as I played that, I was like, okay, I'm done. I don't want to learn anything else.
Doesn't get any better than this.
Sure. All right, guys. Well, thanks a lot for your time. Keep doing what you're doing.
Appreciate it. Take care, Mike.
All right, take care. See ya.
I think the fun that we have on this show that other podcasts might not do is we just try to have fun with each other. So, and people seem to enjoy listening to that. And if they don't, you know, I don't care. I'm having fun.
Yeah,
that's been my attitude with this the whole time. I just want to entertain myself. And if other people like it, I like to make you laugh too. So as long as we're laughing, I think we're doing fine. If other people like it, even better.
Yeah, I think you got to go with your gut and just try to, you know, try to make it worthwhile most of the time when you're on the air. And then I know there's times where people are just tuning off, but I'd have to be like a straight up like asshole just to hang up on somebody. But
yeah,
I don't feel like doing that. And plus, I don't have a control of the phones. But I know Jack doesn't want to do that all the time. But sometimes he just it's very intolerable.
It is what it is, and a lot of that happens after the show. At least it used to. That was brutal.
You know, we try to hear from everybody, but sometimes it's just not so easy. Anyways, what you're saying about TNA, though, I thought it was pretty interesting. But one thing about TNA that I kind of see is like how they tied in the whole Aces and Eights thing of being Bully Ray the entire time. I cannot believe that they had somebody like who wrote that down on a piece of paper before it even happened, that it was Bully Ray the entire time.
See where I'm thinking is they probably did.
You think they did?
I think they had a vision of where they were going.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, we're going to try this long-term storyline, and we're going to do our best to stick with it, you know, injuries and contracts, if they work out right, this is the path we're going. I don't think it lit the world on fire, but I do think they've had this scripted out for a while.
Yeah. I guess it could have been because, like, they did have the whole thing with him getting with Brooke and everything, and that's not something that Bully Ray would have been like, I don't see him, like, saying, like, oh, that's just the greatest thing ever. I fall in love with Brooke, because I was kind of, like, I was really calling him, like, just a complete sellout at that time. Well, not a sellout, but, like, just complete bitch. It was just
yeah.
Like, he's in love with Brooke Hogan. He's out there smiling all the time. What the hell is this stuff?
He was wearing, like, slacks and button-downs.
So, on second thought, yeah, maybe they did have that all written out.
See, I think that's what they've been trying. I don't know that it's totally worked.
They're just trying it. Like, I think maybe the way I thought nobody had that written down on paper was it seemed like they were just tying it all together just to make it work in the end. It was so sporadic, you know, all the stuff that they did, how they are constantly beating down on Bully Ray and everything. It was just, I don't know if I thought, it was weird.
It's very weird in retrospect for all these beatdowns and stuff, but I will also say that in a lot of those, Bully Ray was down, but they weren't, like, constantly stomping on him. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, there was stuff there where that's...
And then he lose, like, once to the Aces and Eights? Like they beat him somehow or something?
Yeah, like he was a tag team partner with Sting in something.
Yeah, that was...
And they were both wearing face paint and weird... Yeah, I don't know. I can't remember it all.
What? You can't remember all TNA?
Although, big TNA news.
Oh, let's hear the big TNA news.
I'm looking on the In Your Head message board, and apparently... There are some rumors that TNA will be bringing back the six-sided ring.
Oh, boy.
And they come to these rumors because they have placed a seat layout for the Topeka, Kansas Expo Center. And it's got a six-sided ring, and they've got six sides of floor seating and stuff like that. Which I don't care about. I think six-sided ring's stupid, and they should never bring it back. But the most interesting part of this is apparently this building is booked for September 17th, 2015.
So order your tickets now.
Order your tickets now. Make sure you're at this big Kansas, Topeka, Kansas TNA event.
Don't wait till the day of the show when they're giving away tickets. Just buy them right now.
Buy your tickets 2 years in advance.
Do you want to see the night the six-sided ring comes back to TNA? I think you need to be there live.
You got to be there live. I don't know if this is an Impact taping. I don't know if it's a house show. I don't know what it is, but it's you can get your tickets for 2015 right now.
Oh, man.
That's got to be a typo. But still, if it's September 17th, 2014, that's still a fucking year.
That's true. A whole year away.
I don't understand it.
God, the six-sided ring. Are any fans clamoring for the six-sided ring to come back? Did anybody honestly care about the six-sided ring?
You'd be surprised how many of these podcast marks think it was the greatest thing ever.
I don't see where it really factors into anything.
I always thought it made stuff look goofier. I mean, wrestling's goofy to begin with. You whip somebody into the ropes and they run back. It's goofy. But it made the distances smaller and they had to run at an angle to hit the turnbuckles, and I didn't like it.
I'd like to see an entire episode of Mythbusters dedicated to the world of professional wrestling.
Yes.
Will a punch with your hand full of quarters, would that actually hurt more? Or if you slingshot somebody into the ropes, would you actually go? Just all of these moves. Does the Boston Crab really hurt?
That one does hurt.
Well, you got to leave it to the Mythbusters.
I don't. That you're fucking hurting someone. That. like the figure four. It hurts. Every wrestling fan knows that.
Yep.
If you have not put the figure four on someone or had it put on you, you're not a true wrestling fan.
No, sorry. Oh, man. But, yeah, six-sided ring. Get your tickets now.
Get your tickets now. You'll see that show in 2 years.
So I can see Dixie Carter behind the scenes at Bound for Glory. She's like, all right, here's the scoop here. No free tickets to anybody. Like, everybody who was in that building actually paid. And they could all just kind of, like, move up. And so nobody was in the cheap seats. Because the arena was just totally empty.
TNA should just start booking a series of empty arena matches. And just have it be their reasoning that they know that's what they're going for.
Invest in a bunch of cardboard cutouts. So, like, when, like, Austin Aries is coming out of the ring, he grabs, like a John Travolta cutout and he just rips him in half.
That would be good. They should just invest in green screens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Have a green floor.
There you go.
And just, like, steal, like, segments of the WWE crowd and just fill your arena with that.
They should just, you know, use, like, old WrestleMania crowds and stuff from, like, the 80s. Everybody dressed that way. Wearing, like, Ultimate Warrior t-shirts and stuff.
How would you feel if you were, like, Bully Ray or AJ Styles performing in front of that crowd? It's like, wouldn't you feel just kind of, like, ashamed?
I don't know. They've been wrestling in the impact zone for so long.
I don't know, but it's just like you're supposed to be your biggest show. I don't know. That's so embarrassing.
Well, you know, the other thing I will say, the few people who were at that show, they advertised that show for, like, 6 months. Buy your tickets now. Hulk Hogan is going to be here. I mean, that was a big selling point of the show.
Comes
to the Hulkster. No Hulkster.
Why the hell do you think he wasn't there if they've been booking him for so long? Or, you know, promoting it and everything.
His contract ran out like 2 weeks before Pound for Glory for some reason. You would think they would have at least signed him to a 2 week extension or something.
So
to get him through the pay-per-view.
Is it not official that he's not back with TNA yet?
All the reporting I've heard lately is that he's still floating out there with nobody.
Oh, I smell another midget wrestling league coming on pretty soon.
Well, he did that while he was working for TNA, so.
He's like, all right, brother, I'm an entrepreneur. We need the midgets.
Well, he's you can now get...
I know this idea can work.
Hulk Hogan.
Put them in NASCARs, and then we'll sell some tickets. Midget NASCAR wrestling.
Who wouldn't get their website hosted by Hulk Hogan? Hostamania.
Oh, man.
I still maintain to this day that if the midget wrestling show that they put on was the midget wrestling show that I went to and saw, which was just a bunch of matches and Knobs and Hogan drunk off their ass doing commentary, then it would still be on today. It was immensely entertaining.
Just give the people what they want.
But what the, this weird reality show thing, that was horrible. Horrible, horrible, horrible.
Bad. Backstage heat on Dolph Ziggler. He's carrying around acting like he's king shit. They don't like that.
Well, no. Boy, he flamed out quick. I guess that after WrestleMania, they felt like they had to push him because of his crowd reaction.
Mm-hmm.
But then he got his concussion like 2 weeks later and then just used every opportunity to bury him ever since.
Mm-hmm. Boy, that's just, I don't know. You get hurt in the WWE and it's like, forget about that push. Just because this dumb goof you guys got working for you kicked him in the head.
Yeah, I don't know.
he forgot who he was for a few weeks. And then he comes back, and it's like, no more title for you.
Dolph Ziggler, he's good at what he's at. He's a good wrestler, but man, does he have a squeaky voice. He's got to man that up somehow.
Squeaky voice.
Squeaky voice.
Yeah, it is kind of a squeaky voice, but
it's not intimidating. I will say that.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess he's not really that intimidating either.
Best wrestling name ever.
Dolph Ziggler. Yeah. I will say, eventually when he gets fired and he goes somewhere else, his name will be an improvement wherever he goes.
It will be better. I'm getting a call. Should I take it or should we just end
Who
up the
is
show?
It?
610. I'm not. Is that Shaheen?
That's Shaheen, probably.
All right, we'll take that one. We're called Nazis. Shaheen, you are live on the air. Is this Shaheen?
Yes, sir.
No.
How are you going, boss?
I wouldn't have taken a call from anybody else, so you better feel special, Shaheen.
Yeah, man. My fault, man. I picked up my aunt from the airport, so I'm a little bit late.
Oh,
no problem.
Mom's needs to be picked up from the airport.
There you go. I know you guys went over it a little bit about CM Punk and Biggie Langston being buddies now and shit, man. Didn't they just have a match like 2 weeks ago and he attacked them?
Yes,
how does this make
did.
Sense? No, no, it makes sense.
It makes no sense at all. But I guess, I don't know, they're just buddies because
water
they
on
both
the bridge.
Don't like the Ryback, or who is it the Big E's after? Is he after Ryback or is he after
I think it's Ryback.
Axel Schultz?
Anybody, is Axel Schultz in a feud with anybody?
Common sense.
Curtis Axel? I don't think he's feuding with anybody. He's just kind of there.
Yeah, he's
I thought it was R-Truth. Isn't he facing R-Truth or something like that?
Oh, he is, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, I guess he has been wrestling.
How could I forget that?
Well, it's easy to forget that one, man. R-Truth, man. God damn.
I think you deserve
Everybody's
a heady.
Everybody's so proud of him.
Just for remembering
everybody's
that.
Everybody's proud of him doing the merchandise thing, man. That shit was boring to me, man. I don't know why everybody's so, you know, flabbergasted by what he did. It wasn't very entertaining to me.
Oh, yeah, he did do a little, like, yeah, I know what you're talking about. I didn't care about that.
You mean, like, his vignette for the Hell in a Cell?
No, he did, like, a vignette for the booby cancer t-shirts.
Oh, okay. What was that like? He was just like,
I like
breasts, so don't get breast cancer.
That would have been better.
It would have been.
And what do you guys think about the heels wearing fucking pink shirts, man? What is with this? I can understand, like, Cena. I can understand Dolph Ziggler. Why the fuck is Del Rio? And, you know, like, it doesn't make any... It looks bad, man.
Pretty sure Cena walks around in pink always.
All the time.
Yeah, he just always has on pink. I mean, it doesn't matter if Susan G. Coleman's got anything to do with it. He just loves to wear pink. But I mentioned this earlier. It's like... They're trying to market these t-shirts to the WWE universe. I'm pretty sure the WWE universe is just mostly male. And it's like, well, we don't want to buy pink shirts. Why don't they sell just like just normal shirts and just have those, like some of the proceeds going to Susan G. Coleman?
Yeah, exactly. I don't see too many grown men wearing pink other than like, you know, fucking like Ziggler and Rick Martel, like, you know, like President was talking about with Razor Ramon.
Maybe, like, the dye for the ink is, like, cheaper that they put into, you know, the pink shirts because nobody wants pink. So maybe they really get a good deal on them.
Yeah, I hope that is the case, man.
They just ran out of all the other colored t-shirts. Like, shit, we got all these pink ones. What are we going to do? Mm-hmm. Let's raise money for breast cancer.
There you go. It's like, you know.
You guys excited about Hell in a Cell at all?
I would like to... I want to know what they're going to do with the damn WWE title.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see who gets it. I'm saying they're going to put it on Orton. Something screwy's going to happen. Orton's
I think so, too, but...
Man, if they do that, they just completely just broke down Daniel Bryan. They just ruined him.
That
at least
what
in my eyes. Yeah.
They're punishing him for being at that press conference. Just for being there. They're like, we got to punish him, too. He's
oh, the
guilty.
Ric Flair thing?
He's guilty by association.
Yeah. WWE, man. Excuse me tonight, man. I'm a little drunk, so, you know, if I'm slurring and shit, that's why.
You picked your mom up from the airport while you're a little drunk?
No, but afterwards, man, afterwards I had to pour out
so
a little bit.
I got to deal with my mom. Oh, my God.
No, it was my aunt, man. But, I watch Raw, man. I deserve to get drunk a couple days after this.
You deserve to take the edge off when you got to sit down
there
at 3 hours of shit.
And I watched Battle for Glory for once, you know? That fucking killed my eyes.
That was brutal.
Why is WWE being so harsh all of a sudden? It's like, I know, like, they're kind of giving a little leeway and kind of letting, like, aren't they letting, like, Hunter pick a few of the angles or something like that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if they are or not, or I don't know. Who is it still Vince behind this?
Vince is behind anything, so.
I know, he you know, it's pretty much all him, you know, and I thought I read something like he's trying to take, like, lesser of a role at, you know, doing all this stuff, but, you know, that probably lasts for, like, a day or so, and he's back at it.
Yeah, I remember reading that, too. I bet that would, yeah, it probably lasted a couple of weeks, and he's like, eh, fuck this, I'm still alive.
Man, I would rather see Vince than Triple H, though, man. At least Vince is entertaining as a fucking dick, you know?
Do you think this is going to lead? Because Vince, at the very beginning of this angle, was out there with them, and he's kind of like disappeared. Do you think this is at some point going to turn where it's Triple H and Stephanie against Vince, and Vince is the baby face?
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah,
they have to, man. It's too boring.
Needs to lead to a promo where Vince is just like, you all don't want just the little dick out there. You all want the big dick. He's like, that's why I'm back. Vince McMahon. Big Dick Vince.
Pull out Big Dick Dudley out of his casket. Bring him back.
He's like, I stole your gimmick, pal. Stole your gimmick. That's what our writing team has come to. They're calling me Big Dick.
Hey, man. This is kind of random, but, you know, I figured I'd get it off my chest. Why the fuck are they putting another Shawn Michaels DVD? It's like the fifth series of Shawn Michaels that they're putting out on DVD. Why don't they put out, like, you know, like a best of, like, Jimmy Snuka or somebody that...
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
I don't realize we had another Shawn Michaels DVD coming out. I kind of thought the same thing with the Triple H DVD that was out.
Yeah, 2014, first release of Shawn Michaels again.
I did not know that, but it doesn't surprise me. That they must have research that says that people only want to see their people are only buying current stuff or something like that of, you know, superstars who have been on television in the last so many years, because all their DVD releases just, you would think they would want to utilize this library more. But they don't. They put out the same guys over and over again. And it's a lot of modern guys. It's not. You've got these great archives, and there's, you know, I guess eventually they'll probably throw out a Bruno DVD because they got him now. But
yeah, I believe that's got to be in the works.
But there's no Harley Race DVD. There's no Funk Brothers DVD. You know what I mean? They've got all this footage. You know, no Nick Bockwinkel. There's all sorts of guys who are alive that you could still get interviews with and put out these things.
Let me run this name by you. Let's see how you all like it. Squeaky Voice, Best Name, The Legacy of Dolph Ziggler.
Oh, man.
I'm surprised they don't have four DVDs out on him right now.
Where are our
Dolph Ziggler DVD?
They put out a damn John Morrison DVD.
Did they really?
Yeah, that was out years ago now.
Oh my God, John Morrison.
There was a John Morrison DVD.
That guy's laughable now. When I think about him just up and quitting WWE, it's just like, what the hell were you thinking, dude?
God.
I don't know why they don't put out an Ultimate Warrior once, it's, you know, they're on good terms with him now.
Yeah.
I mean, they put one out just shitting on him, but, you know.
Do it while you, you know, you can't be in Ultimate Warrior's good graces for too long, so, you know, exactly. do it right now.
Man, I would rather see a fucking best of Damian Demento and the Bushwhackers than another fucking Shawn Michaels. Make a best of Beverly Brothers for all I care. Just don't give me any more Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, or Cena.
Yeah, there's been like four or five Bret Hart sets out there.
They had the one with the really good documentary. That was pretty awesome. But like, have they had like a bunch of like just ones of his matches?
The last one I think is just matches, the Bret Hart one, and then the one before that was the Hart Family or something like that, which was basically still just Bret and. Yeah. I don't know.
I really got into the ones where they're doing like documentaries on the promotions and stuff. I thought those were good, like the AWA one and
all those. I like that and the WCCW one. Mm-hmm. Those are good, and a lot of people like the indie documentary on the WCCW one better. But I go back and forth on which one I like more. I think they complement each other. They do a good job of telling the story.
Mm-hmm. Wish they'd do more, like another one of those. I mean, there's bound to be another set of footage that they could do it on.
Well, they could have done a better, like the Rise and Fall of WCW one was mm-hmm. bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, they could probably have more WCW DVDs. I mean, they only got like, I don't know, like three or four maybe.
I would have loved to see them do like just Starrcade, like just do like the first one, release it, and then
right.
just release them as discs.
Yeah, I would
Clash
love to see
Champions.
That.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with a lot of those Starrcades probably is the music.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of, you know, actual songs being used in those.
Well, they could
so
just
the editing and stuff in there.
They could just drop in the WrestleMania 2 tune. Just play.
There you go.
That's what they do to all the old WWE footage, don't they? It's like Hulk Hogan's coming out what it used to come out to, like the Rocky song, and like they changed it up to American, Real American.
Yeah, they had Hulk Hogan come out to Real American in the AWA, which was something.
Yeah, just plunk in something.
Yeah, watch. Now go ahead.
No, I'm done.
No, I was saying you guys ever watch any matches with Sandman? They have his music just like I don't know some other track playing instead of the Metallica.
Yeah, it's just
like,
generic music. Yeah,
yeah, like takes away from like 90% of the same, man.
Yeah, it's like
garbage in the ring. No one wants to see that.
They changed his music for One Night Stand, and like on the DVD, they changed it into something else. And then on the actual like one, it was pretty awesome. It was Enter Sandman, and I tried to take like the WWE release and like edit in the audio from the actual pay-per-view broadcast, and I kind of had it down and it looked pretty good, but the audio was out of sync a little bit. But I don't know, it'd be nice to get it all in sync and everything, because that really does take a lot away from the Sandman's entrance when he comes out to just like the generic like da 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 da.
I mean, that's all he got, man. He's yeah. Sandman. I mean, I love him to death, man, but he's horrible. Like, he's not a good, you know, worker.
I kind of have a soft spot for him just because, I don't know, I think he's pretty charismatic, and he just, I know he's like terrible, but
yeah. The only thing is that he took good bumps because he was drunk.
That's the only thing. That or a bump suit. He might need a bump suit.
Oh. You might need that nowadays, man. He looks like shit.
I don't know. Classic bump suit.
Yeah, we got I know I talked about it last week. We got Extreme Rising coming back to Philadelphia. I just, you know, I hope they don't pay Raven and Sandman and fucking, you know, Balls Mahoney to come back and shit.
That would be cool to go out to shows like that. If you know, they're local to you. I'd love to see stuff like that, but there's nothing like that local to me, but yeah.
Right. It's actually going to be at the original ECW arena.
That's they had that big thing where they weren't going to do any wrestling shows for a long time.
Yeah.
They gave up on that.
They changed their asylum.
They're like, you know, nobody's booking this damn arena anymore. What gives? We're supposed to have, like, Katy Perry and all those type of people come into here. And I'll be damned. Only the wrestling people were booking this place. Well, I guess we better let them back in.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you guys something random about the ECW arena. If anybody's from Philadelphia ever went to the ECW arena, I'm sure they can confirm this. They got, on the sides, they got signs that says, you know, pick up after your dog. Like, literally every 3 feet, it says pick up after your dog. And people just, on purpose, just shit all over the ground. It's fucking crazy. When you want to walk to the ECW arena, man, you're going to get shit on your fucking feet. I'm telling you, it's impossible. I never understood that. Like, why do people just purposely just let their dog shit on the ground? And then I seen
the
sign.
Sounds delightful. Is it dog feces or is it like human feces? Like people just straight up go out there.
I mean, it's in South Philly, man. I wouldn't be surprised if it's, you know, human feces.
You ever catch Al Green out there just taking a dump on the side of the road?
Isn't he dead?
Is he dead? I don't know. That'd be kind of hard to catch him out there then if he's dead.
I'm pretty sure he's dead.
Shit, I don't know. Is he dead? Chat room needs to fill us in on this.
He seems like someone who's probably dead.
I'll take your word for it, Shaheen. He's probably dead.
Yeah, I'm sure he's dead.
Well, my condolences to his family.
Yeah, Rick James died, man. He's probably dead.
Is Rick James dead?
Yeah, he's dead. He's been dead for a while.
Yeah, he's dead.
Okay.
I think so.
Huh. Is Don Knotts dead?
Don Knotts is dead.
Oh,
I know
shoot.
That one.
I just
everyone
did like a take
who,
like from the Ghost and Mr. Chicken and all that.
Bob Barker, still alive.
He is. He was one of the best guest wrestlers. Guest hosts on Monday Night Raw, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, he was pretty decent also.
Mm-hmm.
They used to do that with a bunch of random celebrities and they were just like complete shit, but
I remember him
Barker,
and
he was at least decent.
And Barker was good and David Hasselhoff was good. I thought David Hasselhoff, he just like embodied like professional wrestling. He
fits with pro wrestling.
There you go, man. David Hasselhoff. Came out with Hogan in 95 in WCW.
That's right. They did have that crossover episode of Baywatch with Hulk Hogan and Kevin Sullivan. And
oh, my God.
I remember watching that.
What were they thinking? Jesus.
Flair was at his flabbiest during that time, wasn't he?
He was.
Oh, my God. He looked like a mutant or something. His, like, boobs were just bouncing all over the place. And it was weird.
Speaking of bad WCW, I got some old tapes from back in the day, and I was just going through them. I seen the tape I have with, like, Sting and RoboCop. Like, what the fuck was that? And they brought RoboCop? I didn't even realize that when I was a kid. It didn't sink in my mind how you know, fake it is. Now I'm just looking at it, and I'm like, oh, my God. Why are there grown-ups in the crowd? You know? Just, like, watching fucking RoboCop.
Could you imagine being in, like, your 30s and watching that and just not being embarrassed that RoboCop's on your TV screen coming out and saving Sting?
Yeah.
It's like, I couldn't have watched back then.
RoboCop whooping all of Four Horsemen's ass.
Well, you know, if you need somebody to take care of your light work, you gotta call up RoboCop.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, WWE doesn't put a fucking, you know, best of WCW RoboCop on top of this DVD cover. they can technically do it. You know, they own the rights to that footage, so.
The best of RoboCop.
That's
the only
RoboCop
thing he did was
WCW.
Bend the bars on that cage, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then he just walked away.
5-minute DVD.
You could see them doing
no
that.
Bonus footage.
Next,
no bonus footage at all.
Next fan fest that we go to, we need to have RoboCop as our personal security. Just dress up some dude in the RoboCop outfit.
We'll sell RoboCop photo ops.
Oh, man. Man, I thought I was the
awesome.
Only one that was drunk, man. You guys seem like you're right there with me.
Well, I don't know about Insure, but I've never touched alcohol in my life.
Bullshit.
I'm just drunk with love. I'm enjoying the show so much, but no, alrighty. Yeah.
President, he just he doesn't drink. Loves
oh,
cigars.
No.
Just cigars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't even smoke those. I use them for other things.
Yeah, I bet you do.
It's very well documented what I do with them.
Yeah, man.
Well, I want to hang out with the president. Alrighty, Shaheen. You take care of him.
Alright, man. I'm gonna kick my ass inside, man. It's fucking cold over here.
Yeah, all pretty right. Cold outside, that's for sure. Down
right,
here in the.
Have a good one.
See ya. Alrighty, President Clinton. I think we've had enough calls to shake a stick at.
I think we have, but I want to bring up one thing because I just saw it on the message board. Seamus apparently has shaved his like beard, and he looks like a complete goober.
You got this said photo?
God. It's a new post on the message board.
Let's see. I think I just killed my message board link. Let's see. I'll pull it up. Message board. You know, fans, in your head listeners, you can always go over and join the In Your Head message board, and you can check out Seamus without a beard. Yep, Seamus ditches the beard by the Boxman.
Boxman posts a lot of stuff there on the message board for you to enjoy.
He does kind of look like a goober.
Doesn't he?
Yeah, he doesn't look right without the beard.
He looks like, I don't know, doesn't look like a wrestler.
Nah, he needs the beard back.
Yeah.
Is that Consequences Creed with him?
Yeah.
It is?
He's been in NXT for a while.
Oh, my God. Well, good for him. I thought he was just stuck as, like, a nobody who wrestled in TNA for just a little while.
They actually mentioned him on WWE TV not long ago because I guess he was the guy who started the hashtag Rehire Big Show or something stupid like that.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, I never would have figured that. Well, good for him.
Mm-hmm. But Seamus, he kind of looks like a goober.
Yeah, yeah. Grow your beard back, dude. You kind of need it. I'm normally not a proponent of beards on the show, but I think Seamus needs his beard.
I think he does, too.
Alrighty, President Clinton. I've had fun tonight. Have you?
It's been a happening. I've had it a good time.
I know. I'm sorry. It's been a rough week to talk about professional wrestling. It's just.
It has been. But
nothing was really that hot.
I kind of feel like we've missed out. We've dodged a bullet here on this caller segment.
Yeah. I'm not sure what happened. The really good callers just didn't call in.
No. Maybe.
And I say really good, and I go wink, wink, because I know you can't see me.
Wink, wink, and maybe air quotes.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they finally accepted this hashtag banned thing.
Well, I think it's a change for the better. I'm not exhausted like I'm normally am
no.
after the caller segment.
No, and then, you know what you got waiting for you afterwards.
I'm normally covered in sweat and just, like, traumatized.
Well, good times.
President Clinton, I've had fun. I'm not sure if we'll be back next week. I don't know. Maybe if the Marks beg.
Beg, Marks, beg.
Beg for your podcast, Marks. I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know.
We'll figure it out.
We might. I don't know what better I've got to do. To be honest, yeah. I'm just being a lazy ass.
Just edit together a clip show of old shows.
You remember when?
Oh, don't you remember the moment when? And then play that thinking music.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty, everybody. I'm going to say something to all the kids out there, because I figured if it's good enough for RoboCop, it's good enough for me. Stay out of trouble. And the RoboCop didn't say this one, but keep your noses clean.
Keep them clean, kids.
Mm-hmm. IYHWrestling.com for myself, 1-inch biceps, and President Clinton. We'll see you later on.
Hey, y'all, this is White Trash Johnny Webb, and you're watching In Your Head Radio with your ears.
This here is my story. Woo! Bow for glory. No need to worry. We're bound for glory. Now these matches I get gory. Bound for glory. Our women here are kind of hoary. Bound for glory. Shout out to Willie Morey. Bound for glory. Funk Brothers Terry Dory. They were bound for glory. But this year, it's my story. 'Cause I'm bound for glory.